forward it. Meeting to order, please.
Can we have a roll call?
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
Tracy Carlucci.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Present.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Dressler?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The other Michael.
Michael Francis.
My old ears, yeah.
Robert Holtaway. Bruce James.
Here.
James Manducci. Carl Richco.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Jack Schreier.
Here.
James Vizioli. Robert Walton.
Here.
Public meeting next.
This meeting was notified in accordance with the Open Meeting Act on the newspaper record of the House Council and the House Council website.
I can rise with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bring us to approval of minutes.
I'll move the minutes.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Abstain.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next, we have my reports. I don't have anything to report at this meeting. Does anybody else have anything they need to bring up before we go to the ED?
No.
Seeing none.
She missed a couple names.
Yeah, I did miss a couple names. I'm sorry. Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
For the minutes?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Swan?
Just want to let you know that Mayor Holtaway is now the proud grandfather of a new grandchild and let me know last night that he was with his daughter in Raleigh, Durham, and because of flight problems may not make it to the council meeting today. So I want to update you on that. Other members have to leave early. So in terms of the update, this information has been up on our website and we continue to update this information. So just to let you know, we're moving forward with the municipalities, and today we're going to be considering three towns: Ringwood Borough, which is 100% preservation area, the town of Phillipsburg, which is 100% planning area, and Lebanon Township, which is in both preservation and a very small portion of the town in the planning area. Upcoming petitions: Alamuchi, Bedminster, Montville, Parsippany, Troy Hills, and Washington in Warren, and the boroughs of Oakland and Far Hills. This just shows you the growth of the implementation of the plan with the growth of the blue on these maps, bringing you up to date. That's to today as well. If those towns are improved, the pale blue is planning area conformance and the dark blue is preservation area. So it just keeps you up to date on our conformance activities. There's also ongoing implementation of approved petitions. It's important that you realize that we continue to work with the towns because there's a lot of work to be done after the council approves the petitions. As you know, you do so with conditions, and this slide gives you an idea of the towns that have been moving forward with their work. Many of them are waiting for our updated ERI information, which has been sent out. So we'll continually give you updates on implementation, and again, we'll post these PowerPoints to our website so the public can also follow. Likewise, we continue our grant performance update, and you can see that we're staying within the amounts that were anticipated by the council in terms of the subtotal there for what was approved by the council and what towns are spending. Also, in terms of moving forward, for those towns then that get conformance approval from the council and continue to do work consistent with the Act's requirements, the costs are covered by the reasonable costs associated with plan conformance are covered by the council. And so this shows you the different activities such as centres and redevelopment planning, sustainable economic planning, water use conservation management planning, agricultural retention and farm preservation as some of the examples. Again, will be posted to our website.
That brings us to
public hearing and consideration of resolution petition for plan conformance submitted by Borough of Ringwood, same county.
For today, the Borough of Ringwood sends apologies that they have no one in attendance at the meeting. However, they've asked myself and Tom to come to a meeting up there and meet with them and present. So they felt that they'd be seeing us soon enough and hearing from us. And we have been in contact with them and with their planner. And I would, from the Highlands Council staff, like to recognize Jim Hutzelman, who's in the back of the room there. Jim did the work and was the liaison. He's our engineer on staff. And he has been the staff representative dealing with the professionals in the municipality to look after their conformance activities. So having a look at Ringwood Borough up in the northern part of the state of New Jersey, some pictures here showing you the kind of municipality you're dealing with. Here's their municipal building. Ringwood Borough, it's a large municipality. It's about 28.5 square miles. A very important fact in this particular municipality, if you look at it, its its acreage is 18,226. Of those, 12,459 acres are preserved. And this municipality is entirely within the preservation area. 100% preservation area, as I said, the protection zone is 87.5%. And the existing community zone, so the developed portion, is only under 10%. So it gives you an idea of the kind of community you're considering. Open water protection, about 55% of the land. Critical wildlife, about 80%. And forest resource area, that's the density mapping, where forest is present, most important to preserve, about 93.5% of the municipality. In terms of developed lands versus natural lands, very different to a lot of the municipalities you're seeing in the Highlands, because even from the Highlands perspective, this is a very critical resource-rich area with about over 82% still in natural lands. Here's a look at Ringwood Borough in 1930. And if you fast forward, you will see Monksville Reservoir there, and you'll see, you know, the different infrastructure that does exist in the town now, and the changes up until 2007. This is a very quick look at Ringwood Borough. This movie takes a couple of wild spins, so hold on to your seats, please, and we'll take you through. Again, we use these videos as a way of showing you the character of a community, so that we're sort of visiting each of the municipalities that you're considering for plan conformance. And you get to see that they are very different communities, even though all within the Highlands region. You'll certainly see stark differences today with the three communities that you're considering. Council members commented on the usefulness of these videos at the last meeting. So here you can see the topography. It's very clear in this. Nathan in our staff does these videos for us. The Monksville Reservoir off there to the left. But you can see the steep slopes in this particular municipality, and you can see the vast forested areas. There you see a municipal building in the center and off to the west, Stirling Forest. Ringwood Manor State Park up there in the north area. And so I said, be prepared. There we go. A little spin there. Nathan's a new father, so liable to be a little excited at times. So we're coming down through. There we go. Thanks, Nathan. So as we get a look there at Ringwood Borough. So you can see some of the developed areas as well. But primarily, as you saw, very hilly and critical resource dominated borough. Vast tracts of forested land. Again, as we said, much of it in this municipality is actually already preserved. Okay, moving on, these are the ordnance maps, and as is our norm, the ordnance maps are also on the wall. You can see Ringwood Borough back there. Those are the ordnance maps for Ringwood. This is showing you the protection zone, and you can see this is the particularly developed area here. You can see it by the amount of impervious surface in the area. Close to look, this existing community, very small area of it down in this developed area of the town. This is your forest resource area mapping where you see the lines. And here you see streams, wetlands, lakes and ponds, again an indication of the critical resources in Ringwood Borough. This shows you the steep slopes, very heavily, heavy areas of incredible steep slopes in Ringwood Borough. Wellhead protection areas and also prime ground water recharge areas. Often you'll see those areas are in the forested areas, undisturbed areas. This shows you the areas that they have some infrastructure. The blue shows you where there is water. This sort of tan color shows you sewage. And this is the only area within here where you actually have both sewage and public water supply. This one shows you preserved lands in green, and then you can see moderate and high priority conservation priority areas as mandated under the Highlands Act for that classification. In terms of today, again, it's an 100% preservation area. They're consistent with the regional master plan on each of the seven modules, the build-out report, their housing element and fair share plan, their environmental resource inventory, the Highlands master plan element, land use ordinance, and their petition for plan conformance. In terms of public comments, we received public comments from Ronald Pagano. He is a landowner in the borough. He requested a regional master plan update for a proposed senior community housing project on his lands. A regional master plan update, as you know, is a factual correction of materials related to mapping. And the other request was, or other comments were from Erica Van Auken on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. In her case, the comments generally supported the petition and the borough's stated goals of redevelopment and ecotourism. Just wanted to update you on the comment response document to Mr. Pagano. We did let him know that it was not an update, that the information was factually correct. So the recommendation for Ringwood's petition for plan conformance is to approve with the usual major conditions. They are the adoption of the checklist ordinance, the completed ERI, Highlands Master Plan Element, Land Use Ordinance and updated zoning map, compliance with the Fair Housing Act. We will assist all the municipalities when we understand fully the implications of that, sustainable economic development plan, water use and conservation management plan, habitat conservation and management plan, lake restoration management plan, and stream corridor restoration and protection plan. And that leads us to your consideration of Ringwood Borough's petition.
Point in time, I'll open it up to council members. Do you have any comments?
Good petition.
Any other comments? Seeing none at this point in time, we'll open it up to the public.
We have another motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I make that motion.
Second.
Motion and second. At this point in time, we'll open up to the public. Anybody from the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, sir.
Ron Pagano. I've never done this before, so I'm just looking for some guidance on a piece of property I have in town. And the town's very aware of what I'm looking to do. I've been working on it since 1999-ish. And did anyone see my comments, or just the right time to talk about that? How do I get some guidance about my comments from my planner to you, and what's the protocol about?
Well, I believe Ms. Swan has answered most of your comments, correct?
And the comments are posted, our full responses are posted, as I've told you, to the website. Yeah. And so, Mr. Pagano, I did alert him to the fact that we would be doing that.
Right.
So you have seen those comments?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, they are posted on the website. If you'd like to see them, just spell them out. It's enough for me to sit here. That list at this point in time.
possible for me to be at that meeting that you're talking about with Ringwood?
Which meeting?
The one they spoke about. There's a couple representatives from here going to Ringwood to meet with the town.
That'd be a publicly scheduled meeting.
All right, so then there's no point in talking any further about what I'm looking to do because it's not appropriate right now.
If there's something specific you wanted to bring up, we'll certainly entertain that, but comments.
No, I'm going to bring up about the project and how I feel about it, and I don't know if that's the appropriate time to do it.
Mr. Chairman, given that the commenter is here, and the comments have been responded to, wouldn't it not be appropriate to print a copy of the responses that are on the website? And hard copy and hand it to him.
That'd be great. Good idea.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll give Mr. Pagano printed up comments as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
While you take a look at that, let me see if anybody else from the public wishes to be heard on this. Is anybody else in public wishes to be heard on this? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. I would be against approving this application, as I will for any other application that includes planning area lands and also requires a water management plan foisted upon the township as one of the conditions. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at a picture of Ringwood with a reservoir. The people who draw water from this reservoir have no such restrictions, and for the people of Ringwood to accept them is just flat out stupid. I just reviewed the March 2004 public hearing, the first public hearing on this act held in Ringwood, and numerous people from Ringwood raised the issue of a water fee, et cetera, that would compensate landowners for their loss and for the state's benefit. So I do not approve of this application for that reason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Erica Van Alking from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Coalition generally supports Ringwood's petition for plan conformance. We support the borough's redevelopment efforts as we recognize that redevelopment will be an important part of future planning. We also support the borough's efforts to establish itself as a sustainable ecotourism hub as another effort to generate revenue. However, we do have concerns regarding various redevelopment zones proposed within the borough. Some of the proposed areas are reasonable because of their proximity to existing developments, but others infringe on important Highlands resources. We think that redevelopment opportunities in the borough should be more fully explored before development projects are encroach on green land. Our final concern is with regard to the municipally sponsored COA site that abuts the Superfund site on Peters Mine Road. We sincerely hope that these plans are reconsidered before exposing more people towards toxic legacy. What is proposed here should not receive any stamp of approval from the Highlands Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard at this time?
To let you know that site that the Highlands Coalition just referred to in the affordable housing was withdrawn by the municipality themselves. That's in the comments pack. And the critical resources will be protected through the land use ordinance, and any redevelopment is subject to the Highlands Act. So those resources will be protected.
Thank you. Mr. Piatt?
I just want to say that the way it looks right now, I'm not for the plan. That's all I want to put on the record.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any further discussion with council members? Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Inspector, I'd like to talk just briefly about the housing element of the Fair Share Plan and this. And just to make sure that I understand this.
Yeah, good.
Under the Highlands Act, that you're, I'm talking about the fair housing element.
Talk to Mike.
Talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
You
gotta have a little humor, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The housing element and Fair Share Plan. It's my understanding, just by reading through the documents, that you're discharging the obligation because there's no longer a third round rule. It's COVID. So what is?
We're essentially deferring the obligation because right now the third round rules were invalidated by the Appellate Division. It's pending in the New Jersey Supreme Court. And as also we referenced, the governor abolished COA and transferred functions to DCA, and the legislature is considering major revisions to the Fair Housing Act. So until such time as there's clarity regarding the state's affordable housing policy, we're deferring action until that time.
And has the research been done if they've met round two that goes from 1997 to 2004?
Well, the Appellate Division only invalidated the growth share rules, so those prior rules remain in effect, and towns still have those obligations. I can't speak to this particular application exactly what they've met, but that obligation is still a valid obligation.
So when we discharge this responsibility, as it said in the documents that I'm reading, I need to be clear that that then goes way into the Supreme Court to make a decision on third round rules, correct?
Yes, but we're deferring
the that
responsibility.
Means that you'll have to come back to deal with the third round code.
Or whatever happens with new legislation. It may not be the Supreme Court that decides it, maybe the legislature
may
decides.
Maybe the legislative body, the state.
Correct.
That's correct. So I just want to be clear, when I vote on this, they still have that responsibility that you have not discharged.
Correct. It's a constitutional, constitutional obligation
discharge.
That we can't discharge.
Discharge usually means that you no longer have to do it.
It's, we are deferring is a better word.
Wouldn't deferring be a better word?
Yes.
Instead of discharging?
And as I recall, we put deferral in the document book.
The document I'm reading, which was sent to me by the director, page 4, uses the word discharging this responsibility.
Oh, that's in a different context. It's this is saying that under the Fair Housing Act,
right.
That now DCA, was COA, has an obligation to consider the regional master plan in discharging their responsibilities. We are not discharging Ringwood from their responsibilities.
So you're discharging them?
No, this is saying that DCA, which is now the affordable housing entity, has the obligation to consider the regional master plan in discharging their state management of affordable housing. Because what happened when the Highlands Act was passed, they amended the Fair Housing, actually amended, included a provision in the Highlands Act to say that under the Fair Housing Act, they must consider the regional master plan.
Which is a requirement of how much percentage of affordable housing to be built in a project is approved in
that municipality. Well, that's the target for affordable housing is the aspect that is now up in the air.
So it might.
That hasn't been answered.
Well, am I fair to say that this has been, municipalities have been sued by not falling under that 20% fair housing? Am I fair to say that the municipalities are being sued for that?
They've generally been sued when they don't prepare and submit a fair share plan to COA or now DCA.
Okay, so what you're saying is the municipality has to have their housing element document down to DCA.
Correct.
And that guards them.
That provides them with protection.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Thank you.
Next up, we have public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance submitted by the town of Phillipsburg, Warren County. Ms. Swan.
Thank you. For the town of Phillipsburg, I want to recognize Dave Maskey. He's their planner. He's here today representing the town. I believe it's just yourself, David. Okay, and on our staff, I'd like to recognize Chris Dennis. Chris was our planner who met in this project and dealt with Dave and with others in the town. Phillipsburg, as you look at the slides here, you see a very different municipality that is coming forward for plan conformance. Phillipsburg is a municipality of 3.3 square miles and a population, according to the 2010 census data, of about 15,000 people. This municipality is 100% in the planning area. They have an existing community zone of about 75% of their municipality, so are largely a built-out municipality. Looking in terms of land use and development here, you'll see that the total of developed lands is just under 80%, and about 20% remaining in natural lands, many of which are little woodlands within the municipality, and then of course along the Delaware. Here you see the town of Phillipsburg in 1930, and this is an interesting slide because you'll see there isn't a great deal of change, where you'll see some changes really up in this area up here. And this is Ingersoll Rand. This is developed, and even in this picture it is developed. It's hard to see it, but there are all buildings in here. It was a very important site in the past in terms of employment for the municipality. So here you see Phillipsburg again in 2007. You see the Ingersoll Rand site. And the real change was the ongoing development up in this area. A look at Phillipsburg, and again, this gets to the very different types of municipalities that you are considering today. So here you'll see a look down at the very tip of the Highlands to that 100% planning area municipality of Phillipsburg. It's going to take a while to start moving. Here it goes, and we'll move up the river, and you'll see there the residential development. And you have lands to the east that you've already taken action on in Powhatan. You're moving now, and you can see those sort of interspersed woodlands within the municipality. And you see there along the riverfront, you can see some developed areas you just passed over them that are part of a redevelopment plan in Phillipsburg, all along the river there. It's known as the Riverfront Redevelopment Plan, and has been adopted by ordinance in the municipality in August 2005. This gives you, again, a look at a very developed area, going over there, the municipal building. A stark contrast to Ringwood Borough, which is the area. Now you're going over the Ingersoll Rand site. That's the second redevelopment area. And again, it's recognised, these are redevelopment areas recognised already by the municipality with ordinances in place. This map is a look at Phillipsburg. Here you see their maps. Phillipsburg is entirely really within the existing community zone. There's a small piece of, little piece here too, of protection zone, but primarily it's seen as existing community. Here you can see carbonate rock areas. In fact, the entire municipality really is the karst topography, and you see wellhead protection areas. This next map shows you the watershed values by HUC 14, and really this is the nature of the developed area. So you can see this is low value watershed value, and up here it's moderate, so high value. In terms of infrastructure, again, a very different picture to what you've seen before, and in fact the town that you'll see later. You can see here that in the purple you've got both public water systems and sewage facilities, with some little areas with just the water and some with sewer. But primarily the entire community is served by public water and sewer. Here you see preserved lands. Importantly, some of the lands down here that we were capturing are actually preserved and in here. This shows you some, this actually is part of the redevelopment area for Ingersoll Rand. Over here you can see the Lopatcong side. So there's going to be a lot of regional type planning here, working with both municipalities to look at this area. Phillipsburg's petition was accompanied by a request for a Highland Centre, and this is the first time you've been looking at a municipality where the entire municipality would be considered by the council today as a centre. The municipality has a long industrial and commercial history, and now results in redevelopment efforts focused on those former industrial properties that we saw, the Ingersoll Rand site and former industrial sites along the Delaware River. Our focus here would be to look at achieving a sustainable economy and assisting Phillipsburg in planning to do that. They have also functioned as a regional centre for decades, sharing an important border with eastern Pennsylvania. Their transportation is good there. They have a well-developed road and bus transit network. The proposed centre, as I said, it includes the entire town of Phillipsburg, and it will require a coordinated effort between Phillipsburg, Lopatcong, Alpha, Greenwich and Pohatcong, all of which are working with the council. Greenwich has yet to be approved, but the others, Lopat, Alpha and Pohatcong, have all been approved by the council, so we will be looking at this from a regional perspective. Also, this is important in terms of looking at sewage capacity and working with these municipalities, all looking at the capacity conditions of the Phillipsburg service area. The Highland Centre recognises the importance of the existing redevelopment areas that we've mentioned, and the centre incorporates protection and support for historic resource features, including the Morris Canal Greenway and the Delaware Riverfront area, and promotes tourism opportunities for the town and local regional economic development. And in terms of the plan along the Delaware there, just want to highlight a couple of issues that the town is already addressing and is included in their planning. Their plan includes a waterfront overlay district that intends to preserve and enhance the natural areas along the river. It includes a riverfront promenade representing the entire riverfront portion to enhance access and conditions along the river with landscaping and scenic trail for pedestrian bike pathway. Includes cleanup of the riverfront area as historic recreation area to enhance historic and cultural features and create green areas along the river with public access. So they see the importance of the natural and the historic. Here you see the two approved redevelopment areas done by ordinance in the municipality, and the entire municipality showing as a centre. In terms of the petition requirements, they are consistent with the regional master plan with regard to build out reports, the housing element and fair share plan, the ERI, environmental resource inventory, the Highlands master plan element. Did want to let you know that they're including in their study, it's not a separate grant, and they requested as part of their centre to look at a TDR examination. The land use ordinance, also, this has to be changed, both the element and the land use ordinance, to reflect the fact that this is being looked at as an entire centre. So we will continue to work with them on those elements, and then their petition for plan conformance. In terms of public comment, we did receive a comment from David Maskew, here today, on behalf of the town of Phillipsburg, and they've requested the designation as a growth area under the Permit Extension Act. This is the first time you're considering this. We did include the request in the consistency report, and it is part of our recommendation to the Highlands Council. This would allow then for the Permit Extension Act to apply in Phillipsburg, which means that those petitions would be, those applications would be extended under the Act, because that Act does not apply anywhere in the Highlands region absent the designation specifically of a growth area by the Highlands Council. Erica Van Auken and Wilma Fry also commented, Erica on behalf of New Jersey Highlands Coalition and Wilma on behalf of the New Jersey Conservation Foundation. Both of their comments generally supported the petition and focus on economic development and historic protection, and they did express concern regarding the karst features. I dealt with, in my overview, the historic protection, which Phillipsburg intends to preserve and protect their historic and cultural heritage. And in terms of the karst features, the land use ordinance of the Highlands Council does take that into consideration, and specific karst studies would be required for any development. The staff recommendation to the council is to approve, with major the listing of the major conditions here, the adoption of the planning area petition ordinance required by the Highlands Act, adoption of the completed ERI and modified Highlands Centre element and land use ordinance to reflect Highlands Centre conditions, compliance with the Fair Housing Act, Mayor Doherty to respectfully answer your questions, redevelopment and brownfield planning study, the wastewater management plan to coordinate with multiple municipalities. The Highlands Council will do that, working with these municipalities, and a stream corridor protection and restoration plan. That brings us to your consideration of this particular petition.
Thank you, Mrs. Swan. We get a motion on
the waiver.
Motion.
Second.
Second. Any discussion, council members?
I think the observation is when I look at this overlay, it is just about all existing communities, so I think it's smart to address the designated center. But more importantly, it's even smarter to do regional planning here, because I think that takes care of future stuff. So if you looked at diversity of growth in relationship to Lopatcom and the other adjoining towns, it's smart that they get together and manage their resources in a regional fashion. That's a good feature.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Just wondering, this is the first time we've had one like this, where the entire municipality would be a designated center. And just, you know, I don't remember really anticipating this when we were developing the plan. Did you find, looking at the plan, that it really required a lot of modification in terms of the elements that don't fit because the entire municipality is being designated a center? Or, you know, how difficult was this fit?
It was more difficult from the fact that it was different to other petitions, and so when staff looked at the, in fact, the municipality had done work, and their professionals on looking at the land use ordinance and the master plan element, what we found is that so much of it didn't pertain to the municipality, because it's very different to the types of municipalities who really designed those ordinances and elements to protect. So it was more that we found that more was going to be left out than left in. So we decided that we should take a closer look at it and design an ordinance and an element specifically for it. We also felt that it was very worth the time and energy to do it, because we do believe that these will be potentially used in a couple of other municipalities that, similar to Phillipsburg, are very built-out communities.
Like, for instance, in the stream restoration plan that we made up. I mean, the areas that are left that are green, the preserved lands, are really important to Phillipsburg, because they do provide, you know, a certain buffering effect. And as we saw on the map, many of them are right along the river there. And, you know, I know that both from the standpoint of looking across to Phillipsburg from Easton, and then vice versa as well, and also if you're on the river going through, it's really important how the town interfaces with the river itself. And so I'm just wondering, like, how much of that will be tweaked or sort of given up in terms of protecting, doing a plan that really protects the existing natural features such as streams or wetlands.
We found, again, in working with them, and this was Chris Dennis working with Dave in particular, we looked back at their planning and talked to them about what their future planning was, and that's why I spent some time going over what, where they saw the importance of protection of those natural features, and indeed, as the coalition requested, looking at the historic features as well. And we see that their attitude is that those are critical to the development of a sustainable community along the river, and that those are the very values that will actually help them in eco-tourism to that area and cultural tourism. So we feel that they're working very well with us, and as we work on the stream restoration plan, we believe that the Phillips Park will be looking at these issues and working with us to best protect the area so that they can actually use it in terms of bringing people to that riverfront area.
Just one last question related to the course. I know, you know, course is a big issue both there and in Easton. And I know, you know, sinkholes happen, and the community knows about it. And I'm just wondering, in terms of developing the plan to address the course there. You mentioned that the Highlands Council would be working on this. How does Phillipsburg do that now? Do they have any sort of karst protection? Do they have a geologist that works on this? I mean, how is it really dealt with now?
Davis here, he might best answer how they deal with it now. I only know that we have, as you know, protections in our land use ordinance for karst topography, and it really gets to those geotechnical studies that they have to do to make sure that the plan is, that they've taken into consideration the karst. So I can only speak to, and they're well aware of those obligations in terms of conformance, but as to what they do today, if the chair would allow Dave to respond.
Quite honestly, they're a little weak in that area right now, though they're much aware of it, and we see this as an opportunity to really bolster the local requirement.
That's great, thank you. And I know a lot of that, the area, of course, is developed. So when a sinkhole happens, it might be in the middle of a giant parking lot, or, you know, there might be a built. So I think it would be very important for us to take that into consideration in terms of the redevelopment plans that would come along. So we wouldn't want to repeat areas that really shouldn't have a structure on them, or shouldn't, you know, we wouldn't repeat those areas moving forward. We want to address them through providing extra consideration for those areas that already have solution problems.
Right. And hopefully the organs will take care of that.
Yeah.
Any other council members?
Yeah, I have a question to the planner from Phillipsburg, if I may.
Yes, sir.
How do you envision Phillipsburg being part of the TDR program? So you're looking at it as part of your consideration of
we have been thinking about for a while. Actually, we had considered putting in a grant request some time ago for the TDR program. That's an open question right now. Obviously, we don't want to put any more hurdles in the way of anybody who wants to develop in Phillipsburg. We want people to develop. If it appeared that they would have to purchase a credit from somewhere else in the Highlands in order to build in Phillipsburg, if that in any way showed up as an extra cost of developing in Phillipsburg, then it doesn't work. So to the extent that it encourages development or redevelopment, sure. To the extent that it does perhaps the opposite, then no.
So I've got to tell you, I'm kind of on the fence. In order for the TDR program to be successful, we need to have TDR receiving municipalities, and they are few and far between. Mm-hmm. We have no ability to impose that on any municipality, and it's perfectly fine. But you're going to be receiving a great deal of money from the Highlands Council, a great deal of resources, time, energy, effort from the staff here for your town center, and that's an awful lot of free help with little, I guess, burden on the part of Phillipsburg to help with the TDR program, to help with the other efforts that I think are germane to the Highlands Act, which is compensating landowners for their lost value, which is only done through this act by the TDR program. So I'm just concerned.
I understand totally what you're saying, and obviously places like Phillipsburg and perhaps Dover, some of the other built out places are the obvious places that you'd want to redirect growth to, and in order to compensate landowners through credits. We will take a serious look at it. And I think it's for you folks to see as well that if it doesn't work in Phillipsburg, perhaps you have to go back to the drawing board and figure out why it doesn't or what's going on. But Phillipsburg is going to try. Phillipsburg is open to development. You know, if you guys want to drive a truck down here and start nailing two 2x4s together, come on down. So we're not going to stand in the way of it to the extent that it works, sure. But Ingersoll Rand's been sitting there for years. We have a big redevelopment project on the riverfront that's been waiting on the market to turn around. Phillipsburg needs development. And if a TDR program makes that happen, fantastic.
Okay. I think it was pretty well answered.
Yes, thank you.
But TDR won't work if there isn't. The reality is TDR can't work without some sort of financial burden on somebody. And your response is, we'll only consider TDR if it doesn't cost an applicant or a developer or something, then it's not going to work. It's so like that, saying, I'm willing to fly to the moon, but I won't go on rocket ship.
I don't think Phillipsburg has any control over whether or not it works. I mean, that's an issue. That's a policy issue with the council on whether or not TDR is an appropriate mechanism to achieve what you need to achieve. All I'm saying is Phillipsburg is not going to stand in the way of it. If you want to use this as an experiment to see if it can work, and if there's some glitches in it, how do you change it to make it work? Fine. But you know, Phillipsburg can't control whether or not that particular mechanism works or not. Like I say, we don't have exclusive zoning. You know, our zoning allows all sorts of stuff, so it's not like we're putting any burden in the way of somebody who wants to bring a credit in. We would certainly accept a developer who wants to bring in a credit. The larger question is, well, that if Phillipsburg says you can't build here without a credit, how does that hurt Phillipsburg? And does that mean people, is it more costly then to build in Phillipsburg than to build somewhere else where you don't need a credit? I don't know. These are just questions. I don't know the answer to that. And it's a large policy issue that you folks are going to have to deal with. And maybe through the experience you get from Phillipsburg, it's, you know, maybe you'll be able to change it or alter it or make it better.
I think Mr. Maskey's answering these questions very well. There is a policy set in place by this council and the law itself to impose on it. And we have an applicant here that appears to be willing to at least look at it, take it into consideration. While the questions from council members are fair, I don't think the mechanism is there to impose on Phillipsburg what we're looking to do. And quite frankly, it's the most positive I've seen an applicant to even consider.
I was going to say, I think you won my vote. The only question I would make to you is that it's not necessarily this council which has the decisions. Of course, it's the state, it's the legislature, the governor.
Absolutely.
We've been given only so many tools to work with this. And
correct.
That's what we've got, sadly.
And we're aware. Any other comments?
Sure. I'd like to ask transportation. I don't see any mention here of transportation extension of the River Valley Line to Phillipsburg. One of the things that is in our master plan, specifically under Chapter 3, Part 5, speaks to regional master plan also encouraging context-sensitive design as a strategy based on designing and planning projects in close collaboration with communities and stakeholders. This strategy encourages transportation officials to work with local stakeholders in order to design projects that reflect the people who live, work, and travel in a certain area. This process of engaging communities can result in more improved transportation solutions to better address particular communities' transportation needs. As such, the NJDOT and NJ Transit are encouraging communities statewide to develop a formal concept of what they want their towns to be in 5, 10, and 20 years. So I think that there's some merit to the talk of the extension of the Raritan Valley Line.
Yes.
Phillipsburg for ages, second only perhaps Route 80, 78 is a transportation nightmare for commuting. And certainly the Raritan Valley Line is a means of alleviating some of that traffic. Shouldn't we be talking about that now?
Yeah, there was actually a meeting on that over the summer, I guess it was. The NJTPA, the NJ Transit, had all the communities around. And what it comes down to is it's just not going to happen. It's not that the towns don't want it. It's just the states. It's just not going to get out that far. I mean, yeah, Phillipsburg, obviously, its history is about, is around rail. A lot of those green strips you saw in those pictures were actually railroads. They weren't forests. They were railroads that have been overgrown. Some are active, some are not. You may remember that's where the Railroad Museum was supposed to be. So big railroad heritage. In fact, the logo of the town shows a train. We would love to have it come out. It would be very, very helpful, but it doesn't appear that NJ Transit or NJTPA see that as a viability. I think they see more as extending more buses, perhaps a smart bus type operation, more park and rides on 22 perhaps. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like the state's going to be extending the rail line out there anytime soon.
That doesn't prevent us from including...
If you want to advocate for it, but fantastic.
I would certainly support that as the resident of Hampton Borough, who we all have heard about in line, would love to see that train come through Hampton all the way up to Phillipsburg. So.
It's not a free ride, though.
No, I understand.
Can I ask why the TPA seems to be opposed to it? Is it a money
issue? I think it's a financial issue more than anything. It would be pretty costly, and I guess that's the only reason I know of. You know.
One thing I'd like to say about the, you have to walk before you run, and certainly Phillipsburg is probably way ahead of anybody else in terms of their bus system. I mean, people travel from Pennsylvania to go and park in the lot and get on the bus to go to New York from Phillipsburg every day. And in terms of the transportation hub, they're way ahead of a lot of the other towns.
Thank you. Any other council members? Seeing none at this point in time, we'll open it to the public. Please raise your hand if you have any comments. Mr. Maskey, before I go, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's good.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to say that the department fully supports Phillipsburg's petition. We think this is a great example of regional planning, focusing on an entire town and surrounding regions, the potential for TDR, transportation, as Kurt mentioned. I think there's huge opportunities here, and I think it may be a very good opportunity for the council, as Phillipsburg moves through the process, to see what can be done as a council in terms of policy decisions to make this a very vibrant community. I know it's been struggling for a long time. I think it's a great opportunity for Phillipsburg. I commend them for going into plan conformance, being in the planning area, and we fully support it. I also support designating this as a growth area, because everyone knows the Permit Extension Act did allow for those extensions, permit extensions to happen everywhere except for in the Highlands and Pinelands, unless they are recognized and identified by those councils as a growth area. So we fully support that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard at this time?
Mr. Shipp.
Mr. Shipp.
My name is David Shope, and I'd like to talk about TDRs for a minute. They're already discounted 75% from market price. And if that's not cheap enough for some builder to buy some so he can build an additional unit, they'll never be cheap enough. You're collecting them here in the TDR bank or whatever you call it, and you might as well give them away like confetti, because they have no value, even discounted at 75% to market. The TDR program is a farce, admitted. And as far as trying to make it happen, you could have made it happen with Hackettstown. You didn't have to approve their request. You don't have to approve Phillipsburg's request either. That's up to you. It's not mandated. It's a decision made by you.
Well, the Highlands Act clearly states that it cannot be a mandatory TDR program.
That's correct. But the Highlands Act does not require you to approve this application either. And for you not to exact a little penalty for giving them these perks is your decision. It rests with you, and it rests, I think, with your calculation of the fact that the TDR program is a farce. So I do not approve this application without requiring TDRs as part of it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Sorry.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. We really support Phillipsburg's goal of revitalizing its historic community. It's very rich in historic resources. And we would like the plan conformance process to require even some additional emphasis on historic resource protection. The town already has many elements listed on the state and national registers of historic places. And so a good deal of work has already been done, and we urge the town to continue to pursue such listings. However, we do believe that the council should, as part of plan conformance, strongly encourage the town to prepare a historic preservation element as part of the plan conformance and center designation, and it should be supported by an ordinance creating a historic preservation commission. Now, maybe Phillipsburg already has this. I'm afraid I don't know that. But the Historic Preservation Commission has the authority to develop design guidelines, especially for the town. And these professionally prepared design guidelines could ensure that the new, any new building, new architecture, really complements and reflects the historic context to inform and evaluate materials. So we would urge that a little more, bit more emphasis be placed on historic protection of the historic character. Lastly, there are definitely some serious constraints to development in the town. The entire municipality, about 2,100 acres, is carbonate rock. And we know about the problem with sinkholes, how groundwater can be contaminated and potential structural collapse in these areas. So there are already a lot of existing buildings. It's definitely an issue that needs to have some strong attention paid to it. In addition, about 300 acres, which is about a seventh of the town, is on steep slopes, and the majority of those are severely constrained slopes. And I know some of these old houses, the tri-deckers, are like perched on the very edge of these steep slopes. So there are a lot of kind of difficult construction things there. And finally, it's in a deficit watershed area. So one of the things I would say is that sometimes the best design occurs when it's limited by constraints, and we do hope that that will be the what happens with Phillipsburg as well. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public?
Erica Van Alken from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We support Phillipsburg's petition for plan conformance, and we look forward to seeing the work that the town and the council will do to reinvigorate Phillipsburg and protect the remaining Highlands resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, any further council comments?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I voted against Hagerstown because of their reluctance to buy into TDR. Because I think that towns like Hagerstown, Phillipsburg, Washington Borough, Dover, Morristown need to be a part of a TDR program if it's going to work. I'm encouraged to hear about Phillipsburg's interest in making the program work. And one legitimate point is, why would somebody go there and not someplace else if they've got to pay something extra? And the answer is, there needs to be an incentive, you know, whether it's larger number of units per acre, or an extra floor, or something. How do we incorporate? We've heard a willingness to fully explore this, and this is the first town center that's come and said, we want more development, we're interested, we want to plan for it, we want to redevelop, and we want to participate in DDR. So how do we exploit that? This is the first time we finally have somebody come to us and say, we want to be a part of what the master plan is calling for, which is some growth to support preservation and a lot of other reasons. So how do we exploit this right now and seize this opportunity to make something work here?
I think the funding of this study.
There are also benefits in the Act. There's $15,000 per unit once you get to 5 DU dwelling units per acre, which Phillipsburg would be at, obviously. There's also up to $250,000 in planning grants. And the other requirement of a TDR study is the real estate, the real estate market analysis, thank you, which is the bit that really is necessary to show where, this is what you're getting to, Kurt, when you say the extra floor, whatever it is, when you show the developer can see that the value added to him is worth it. And the REMA is required. So that's the answer, because that's where David and Phillipsburg would see that the developer would be saying, I've seen the market analysis now, and now I see that this makes sense, because that's how you get TDR to work. It's only when the REMA dictates that it's feasible and economically viable for the developer.
Which is exactly the same as what Hagerstown's getting as well, correct? There's nothing
yes.
extra that Phillipsburg's getting that Hagerstown is receiving.
No, there's nothing extra.
Right. So one came kicking and screaming, and one's coming.
I think it must be remembered that Hagerstown had over 500 residential units on the books coming in, so they just didn't know that they had the capacity to serve more. Because that's the other issue that we have to look at in terms of additional development is, do they have the sewer capacity and do they have the water capacity to serve that extra development? So all of these studies are necessary. I take your point.
But isn't there something else we can incorporate into this petition right now that recognizes their extra willingness to do this? Finally, somebody's willing to be a partner with this TDR. Isn't there something we can do?
I think they're getting grant money to do a lot of studies that Phillipsburg wants to do. That's why they're with us. So I think they have an incentive to work with us. Otherwise, I don't believe 100% planning area would be before you today. I don't know that they need additional. I think when you've seen the studies, because would you want to put more money in the direction of something that you haven't studied to the fullest extent to see if the REMA is dictating that it would be successful and indeed if the capacity is there to support it? But I think they're here because you've given them the incentive.
You'll have my vote today because I think we need you as a TDR partner. And I am encouraged by the fact that you are seeking that, and I think that's appropriate for Phillipsburg. I would sure love to see something in there that endorses the extension of the Merritt Valley line.
And as
if you could concede to an amendment that somewhere includes a sentence.
Mr. Walton?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the other note on the Haggis Fund, that made me regret this yes vote.
Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
No drain line?
Second.
Let's put in one sentence.
I think it's appropriate that we take a position on that with the state, though. I agree it should be extended. Absolutely.
Then I'll propose an amendment that...
I don't know that it would be part of this, but I think that we should...
Well, it should be part of this. It's that's the terminus.
I don't think it's best.
So I'll make a motion that we include in this petition an endorsement of the extension of the Merritt Valley line of Phillipsburg.
A point of order, we're going to remove the motion.
We can amend the original.
I have to amend that motion.
Correct.
James.
Who's James?
James,
you'll
amend
it?
Yes.
You'll amend it. Second.
Absolutely.
Second. We had a second, was the original second.
Mike Francis.
Mike, can you amend your second?
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We have never amended the petition. I just asked the
attorney. New counsel, we're a lot of new things here.
Yes, the attorney, his thoughts on this.
I just asked before I.
Okay, I need to.
Yeah. You can amend. You can certainly do that, and you can choose to include it in the funding studies for the center. Is to have a look at that.
As a recommendation.
As a recommendation.
Yeah.
To have a look at it in the study.
Are we going to take a vote on the amendment first, or has
it? No.
It's as amended.
Okay. As amended.
Thank you.
I'd like to speak to the amendment, though. The amended motion. I don't really know what I'm voting on here. A recommendation for the extension of the Raritan Valley line. I don't know what that entails. I don't know the cost. I don't know that Phillipsburg wants it. This hasn't been part of the public discussion. I'm very uncomfortable because they're throwing something in to make ourselves feel better.
I think it's a more, I don't think it's something that makes us feel better. I think it's a substantive improvement to the community and to the region. It's a transportation of the state. The TPA is not against it, as I understand it. Having been involved in the process as mayor of Hampton for quite some time before bringing about a three-year board, all the municipalities were in favor of extending the rail lines for the most part. The issues were funding and how soon can you get it out there. So this is not some sort of imposition on these towns. People generally want to have the rail station. They see it as an opportunity to improve the economy of their municipalities and also to get cars off the road, which should be it's good for the environment, it's good for the economy, it's a win-win.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Would it be possible to consider the Raritan Valley Line issue separately from this particular petition for planning performance? I think it's an important issue and needs to be fully addressed. Another meeting and some time devoted to it, and then have a resolution either supporting or not supporting. Might be a more appropriate way to address this issue.
I support that.
If I'm not mistaken, the only thing we're doing is recommending this.
I think it's a question of the language used. If you forgive me, rather than saying that a study of the potential. But what Jack is suggesting perhaps would allow you to look at the extension of the line because there are implications not just with relation to Phillipsburg, but with relation
regional.
From a regional perspective. Oddly enough, Chris Stannis, who is doing this, who is the liaison for this town, actually leads on our transportation issues, so we could have her look at it and give us a report out on it, and then you could take a subsequent action if you wished.
I think we're getting too carried away on
this. Point of order, if I'm not mistaken, didn't we endorse in this regional master plan the extension of the Raritan Valley line?
We did.
So it's already in
the
master plan.
It is in
the
master plan.
We endorsed these things already in the master plan. So all we're doing is re-emphasizing in the town's petition what we've already, as a council, voted on and endorsed. This is one of the things we support in the master plan.
So why are we being redundant?
Because it's not included in the petition. And I think
it doesn't hurt.
We should be saying, look, this is something that we, again, think is important. The extension of the Raritan Valley line is an important part of the transportation component of the Highlands region, and we want to emphasize that, because that tells, according to this, that tells the NJDOT and New Jersey Transit that the council views that as being an important thing to further enhance the Highlands region.
Mr. Chairman, just report this master plan regularly, so I don't know why we would not reference it at this point.
Mr. Chairman, just a point on that. When we voted on that, it was the concept. There were not studies done to show the economic impact of that, the cost and the benefits. We all agreed that certainly getting cars off the road is a good idea. Rail is a great idea. But whether or not it makes sense in terms of economics, in terms of balancing the cost and the benefits of such a thing, we haven't even studied. So, again, to just throw out there that Phillipsburg now is saddled with an amendment, not to say that they are against it, but they haven't even discussed it. This is not part of what has been put forward. So I don't see the point. We already have an endorsement in the plan, as Kurt pointed out, of the concept. Why do we have to add it to the Phillipsburg plan?
Mr. James?
I don't think we're saddling them with anything. I totally disagree with you. I don't think it's saddling them with anything. I heard you, correct me if I'm wrong, Phillipsburg would love to have the rail extended there. I thought that's pretty much what you said.
Chairman, ma'am?
We're not making this a condition of this approval.
Absolutely.
We're simply saying that we're still in favor of that study. It's going to be part of this where they have to build the railroad.
If I may, I think one of the reasons Phillipsburg got into this process was to get another advocate for various issues. To the extent that the Highlands Council wants to advocate for the extension of the railway line, fine. To the extent you want to put it in this petition or not, I don't know. We'd like you to advocate for us on the construction of a Route 22 connector from the Ingersoll Rand property to Route 22. There are various things where we'd like you to be on our side down the trend. So as far as that goes, sure, we'd like you to advocate for that. It's certainly up to you whether or not you want to, how you want to link it on to here. Obviously, Phillipsburg have no control over whether that happens. So if you were to somehow put language in this resolution that said we had to look at it or study it, that's really beyond what we can do.
That's not what the amendment
says. Yeah, I don't think it is.
The amendment simply says we're supporting what's in the master plan.
I haven't really heard the language of the amendment.
I have concern with the language. No one has said exactly what the amendment will be. So if someone can come up with wording right now, I think that would make it a lot easier for all of us to understand. I'm not going to vote no on this petition because of this amendment, but I think it's important for, because I think it is an important performance. But I think it's much better for everybody on the council and the town to know the exact wording of this amendment.
I think we're getting bogged down on something here that's...
Commissioner, it was a very simple sentence.
It is simple, and here it is.
Why don't we just reference the regional master plan as written, and that will be the amendment.
Program Perfect. Chapter 5.
Okay, with the motion and the second. Would that appease?
I feel very uncomfortable endorsing this when we're not even looking at it from a regional perspective. Is it better for them in the near term to invest in bus transit? I'm just saying that for us to add this and not also add something about bus transit and regional rail across the river and all the other things that we should be looking at in regional planning is short-sighted, and it seems like we're just tacking it on.
But if there were a turtle there, we'd be all over that, right? If there was a bomb turtle something.
I don't know if they're going to put the rail over a car story that should be developed. I don't know that.
I think your solution, Mr. Chairman, is absolutely wonderful, and I will support it.
Thank you.
Does everybody else agree? So we have the original motion has been amended again, and the second will amend as well.
No problem. My second.
Any what further discussion?
Call it question.
Roll call. Well, what are we? What is the new amendment?
I'm sorry.
I thought you heard. Just that we will. The amendment is to just reference the regional master plan. In reference to
what you read, Kurt.
What you read.
You can specify the particular section.
Could we hear the language, please?
What you read.
It's not
you read,
in, like it in the language. Where would be what it says exactly?
Well, right here, it, under the programs, chapter 5, part 5, we reference four specific transportation elements. One of them is the tunnel, which is shot down right now. One of them is the Lackawanna Cut-Off. One of them is the Northwest New Jersey Bus Study. And the fourth one is the Rare Valley Line Extension Study.
It's a study. Just like to point that out.
We are, in fact, approving a resolution, correct? This is the resolution, correct?
Yes.
That's exactly what the action we're taking is to approve this resolution. So why is it at whereas the Regional Master Plan of the Highlands Council supports this project, and we, the council, support it being included as part of the planning process for the town of Phillipsburg.
As referenced in the regional master plan.
Exactly.
I just want to point out it says study.
That's
it does not say we're enforcing the line. It says a study.
That is what
are
you
okay with that, Mr. Alstead?
Yes. And that is
roll call.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes. As long as it says study, yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. At this point in time, we're going to amend.
No, we don't do it.
Take the photo up.
No, no, I thought in because of
yes.
Time.
We're going to amend the next application to be the Fenimore site that is in the township of Roxbury, my hometown. So I will be stepping down on this issue and handing the gavel over to
Sarris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, Eileen.
Yes, sir.
We are considering designation of the Highlands Redevelopment Area for the former Fenimore Sanitary Landfill, and that's what we're calling it. Block 7404, Lot 1, Roxbury Township, Moscow.
Correct. Okay, I'm going to take you through this. Okay, we'll start, and I'll, if you follow the PowerPoint. The proposed designation of a Highlands Redevelopment Area is for a brownfield site, and it's to allow for the construction of a solar energy array. The proposed project is the redevelopment of the former Fenimore Sanitary Landfill, located in the preservation area of Roxbury Township. And as of 1979, all landfill operations ceased at the site. The proposed solar arrays will be constructed upon capped landfill areas, and that will occur in phases. The solar panels will be capable of generating up to 10 megawatts of electrical power and would encompass approximately 50 acres of an approximately 100-acre site. The Highlands Redevelopment Area would authorize the proposed solar array redevelopment on top of the constructed landfill cap. All landfill remediation activities are exempt under Exemption 15 of the Highlands Act. And this is a critical part of this, this resolution as you consider it, because we have to deal with what is the jurisdiction of the Highlands Council. So any of the activities that are to deal with the closure of the landfill are under the jurisdiction of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. the Highlands Council's jurisdiction is consistent with the Highlands Act, the designation of a Highlands redevelopment area, which can be all or any part of the designated brownfield, the delineated brownfield. So that's your jurisdiction, is to deal with the delineation of the brownfield, sorry, of the delineation of the redevelopment area within the brownfield. And you can, as you have done in other redevelopment areas, impose conditions. Today is the first time, however, you will be dealing with a brownfield redevelopment area. These slides are important. They show you some aerial views of the former Fenimore landfill. This is back in 1963, and the landfill was started in the 1950s. Here you see the land, the site itself, and within it you see the area at that stage where dumping was occurring on site. So this is in 63. This is in 1979 when the landfill operations ceased, but you can see the disturbed area of the site at that point in time. So that's 1979. After that time, up until, this is a 2002 aerial, you can see regrowth on the site, but be aware the regrowth was over an unremediated, uncapped landfill area. And staff did make visits to the site and to the surrounding area. We actually walked the site itself, and as you walked amongst the growth, it has been, the trees have been cut down in the delineated area of the brownfield itself, and as we walked it, the growth that has come up since then, it surrounds different debris. So it is very clearly what it actually is. This is a conceptual redevelopment plan with solar arrays, and this is from Matrix, who were hired by the developer of the site, and it just shows you again, this was part of the an application, part of the application submitted to the Department of Environmental Protection. For their work on the closure plan. The limits of the site are shown here, and then this shows you roughly the brownfield area and the solar panels. Here you see, I'll actually show you the next slide because this better shows you. This was the application to the Highlands Council. Here again you see the limits of the site. It goes around here, up here, in here. And here you see what the application to us, these would be the solar panels. The area delineated for the brownfield is around, see the dotted line here. So showing you again, this is the limit of the landfill, the delineated area by the Department of Environmental Protection as a brownfield. You can see it comes, and these are important things I'm pointing out to you right here, how it comes right up to the road. This is Mountain Road. This is Lookout, and this is Vanover. So you can see that it's right up to the road here. So this is the area within which you can designate a Highlands redevelopment area, if you believe it to be appropriate, with any conditions you require. This is a map showing you forested area. As I told you, though, this area now has been deforested in accordance with working with the Department of Environmental Protection. This is the open water buffer area. Again, please note that anything within here, though, is within the brownfield. So it has been disturbed and is in the condition right now of brownfield landfill. Here is a timeline. November 2nd of 2009, the applicant met with the Highlands Council to discuss the sequence of actions. So what they did was they came in for advice on how they would move forward with the application. The applicant then pursued the designation of a Highlands brownfield with the Department of Environmental Protection, because it has to be designated a brownfield before it can come to you for your consideration. August 18th of this year, 2011, NJDEP designated the Highlands brownfield. August 31st of this year, the applicant submitted the petition for the Highlands redevelopment area designation. So that's when we had the petition. September 6th, the Highlands Council deemed that petition to be complete. September 23rd, we posted our draft consistency determination and the draft staff recommendation report on the website. October 6th of this year, just I guess a week ago or so, NJDEP issued the administrative consent order and the landfill closure plan approval. The comment period began when we posted the materials on September 23rd and ended October 7th, and we received public comments from the Township of Roxbury, from Russell Stern. Russell is here with us today, so he's from representing the municipality of Roxbury as their planner. He's the director of planning. He gave us detailed comments, and they were regarding the following matters: project jurisdiction, sufficiency of the application, visual and other project impacts, economics, scheduling and phasing. We received comments from the New Jersey Sierra Club, submitted by Jeff Tittle, the director. He supported the landfill closure and the green energy project. Comments from New Jersey Highlands Coalition, from Erica Van Auken, and also comments from ANJEC, from David Pfeiffer, the Highlands Project Director. Both of the latter were concerned that the closure would not be properly completed. And this is where I remind you of our jurisdiction, because the closure activities are exempt from the Highlands Act, the Highlands Regional Master Plan, and your jurisdiction under exemption number 15. The Highlands Council did, on our website, issue response to those comments. They were posted yesterday, and we did advise the municipality and the applicant that those had been posted so that they could have a look at them. So the staff recommendation is to approve the project subject to certain conditions that would have to be met through the Highlands Preservation Area approval process. This is a two-step process. You designate the Highlands Redevelopment Area, and then the applicant goes to the Department of Environmental Protection. They work in coordination with the Highlands Council on the Highlands Preservation Area approval. All of these recommendations, we want to stress this, if it's demonstrated that in any sense they impede the proper closure of the landfill and the administrative consent order, obviously those take precedence. They have to abide by the closure plan and the ACO. So I want to be clear on that. Now, as I deal with the conditions, they are, many of them are in response to some of the comments received. They're on the slides here. The application for the Highlands Preservation Area approval has to address the phasing of this project, because it is intended that the solar panels will be developed and put on the site in phases as that area is capped consistent with the closure plan. So during the HPAA, we would want to see how that phasing, how the construction will be phased, and how the applicant will move through correct closure procedures and phasing of the application. In terms of the encroachment into the Highlands open water buffer, we stress that it will be entirely within a previously disturbed area, so it will not result in a net impact to the functional value of the stream. To the extent feasible, establishment and maintenance of a vegetated buffer between the stream reach and the project area is required. The next one is to minimize the potential impacts from the solar array on stream water quality and habitat. A condition of this approval would be, again, the establishment and maintenance of a vegetated buffer along the edge of the relocated stream. The stream is being relocated in accordance with the closure plan. Riprap is required along the edge of the stream, and what we're asking for is the maintenance, the establishment and maintenance of this vegetated buffer outside of the designated brownfield. The condition would be addressed through a minimum 50-foot vegetated buffer consisting of layered woody and herbaceous species. The buffer, however, may be smaller, again, if it's shown that it would conflict with the department's administrative consent order and the closure plan. We have to stress here that we couldn't require the planting of trees, for example, because they would penetrate the cap, and that can't be permitted under the closure plan. That's why we stressed the herbaceous and woody materials. Number four, it must be demonstrated that the solar panels can be effectively constructed and maintained along the northeastern border of the site. And this is because on visiting the site and viewing topographic maps, we could see that there's an absolute drop-off there. So the concern is about the stability of those panels in that area. So the applicant must demonstrate before putting any panels in there, from an engineering perspective, that they can be effectively constructed, maintained, that they will be stable before they are put in. In the event that proof is not made, they have to be pulled back in that area. The next condition. The remainder of the property outside of the Highlands redevelopment area, and this is similar to other projects you've done, would be under a conservation restriction. Again, apart from any of the requirements of the land closure plan. I'm sorry, this would be Judge Dressler calling in.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Judge Dressler?
Yes.
Yes, you're online.
Okay.
Judge Dressler, this is Eileen. At the moment, I'm doing the presentation on the Fenimore resolution. I'm going over all the materials that I have sent you. We are not yet we've not yet had any council discussion or public comment. And as I discussed with council earlier, knowing that you are going to be calling in, it is appropriate for you to vote on this matter because you've had all the materials, so long as you hear council deliberation and any public comment.
Okay.
Thank you. I will continue on the remainder of the property would be under a conservation restriction, again I said, unless there's any land closure obligations in those areas such as detention basin. We did note, however, that there will be a need to access transmission lines, and if there's any need to cross any of that area outside of the redevelopment area in the remainder of the property, we would require a mitigation plan for any tree, taking down of trees or clearing in that area.
Okay.
So that's number five. Number six on the conditions, the solar array is to be screened from the view shed along Mountain Road. If I go back and just show you, I think it's on the maps that we were showing you all of the site. And if you look at the thing here, we're looking, this is Mountain Road here, where I'm showing you on the screen. And this is Lookout, and this is Vanover. So we're really looking at this area here. But we do also refer to any of the residentially privately owned properties here, or any of these privately owned properties. So we're saying that the solar array should be screened from that view shed along Mountain Road and along all existing private development for a minimum of 75 feet of dense vegetated cover. Berms may be used to supplement the vegetated buffer, but structures such as fences shall not substitute for that buffer. Again, we recognize that trees and other woody species cannot be planted within the landfill cap area because of compromising that cap. In the area along Mountain Road in the vicinity of Lookout Drive, this is where we're showing you where the landfill comes right up to the road. It abuts Mountain Road, so as a condition there, we're saying that the applicant would establish an earthen berm to screen the view shed along Mountain Road. And it shall be seeded and planted with native herbaceous species. The applicant in this case should provide the screening plan for review and approval by the Highlands Council prior to any solar panel work in the vicinity of Mountain Drive. So that's this area here.
Okay.
Okay, moving forward to the next of the recommendations as conditions. Stormwater regulations must be followed in the project design, and that will take place again through the Highlands Preservation Area approval process. The applicant, in this case, should supply a stormwater management plan and construction implementation plan that minimizes disturbance during and after construction. As a condition of the approval, the applicant shall demonstrate the solar panels can be constructed effectively while maintaining the integrity of the proposed stormwater management features. And in this case, we're really referring to the four bay swales, which run from north to south of the proposed development area. So we wanted to make sure that we see with the stormwater management plans that this can be done effectively with the land closure plan. The final landfill closure plan, the final recommendation from the council staff to the council is that the applicant must demonstrate that the solar panels can be installed without compromising the integrity of the landfill cap, thus meeting the conditions of the landfill closure plan. That completes the presentation of the staff.
Thank you, Annie.
Okay.
The final photograph, I apologize, on the slide shows you sort of the current conditions. It was taken by Tom Borden on our site visit.
That's not the entire area.
There's a lot of that.
Is there a motion on this?
Forward.
Second?
Second.
Any comments from the council at this point?
I have a couple of questions. What were the criteria for declaring it a brownfield? Would it be a brownfield if it was capped and approved?
I believe it would have to be a brownfield recognized as one before the DEP get to the closure plan for it. So there's a process within the Department of Environmental Protection for recognition of a brownfield, and this was recognized as a Track 1 brownfield.
Because?
Because of the conditions on the site.
Okay, where is there known contamination to?
There is a leachate pond on site, and so yes, there's definite contamination that can be seen in the leachate pond. Again, we witnessed that on site, and the closure plan addresses how that leachate will be collected and managed on site.
So then, if it has a proper closure plan, there's not an issue, correct?
Once it's got the correct closure plan, that's a requirement.
The DEP requirement, yes. Not our requirement.
It's not
what I'm trying to understand with this is the interrelationship between the Highlands and the DEP, because this clearly really has a lot of jurisdiction of DEP as far as capping and closure and leachate. And some of the things that we even talked about the solar panel, which I feel strongly about solar panels. And if I recall very recently, on the state and federal level, cap lands are inherently beneficial when it comes to solar installations. And so that gives a little more latitude than given the impression that we're taking a brownfield and we're going to develop it. It gives the illusion that there's something going on other than some solar collector, which are ground mounted, which are not classified as impervious coverage by the DEP, if I recall the recent.
Right, all of that is correct.
And so, I want to make sure that we're clear that this is really a de minimis disturbance, and it's going to leave this site better than what it started with, for the simple fact that it's going to be required to be capped properly. After it's capped properly, and there's a solar installation on it, that to me is not the same as building 100 acres of factories or houses. So what I'm saying is, when we say redevelopment, I want to make sure that we're clear that it's being, that the nomenclature that we're using only shows that it's being redeveloped because something different is happening on an abandoned site or a site that was not properly capped. So I feel strongly that when people take the opportunity to do something like this for renewable energy, that this is not a handicap on the property. This is a positive effect on the property.
And the staff did recognize, and it's in our documents, that this is recognized as an inherently beneficial use of the reuse of the property. What we wanted to be mindful of in our study of this project was the impact to the municipality and the impact to surrounding landowners, because in each of our redevelopment projects that you have looked at, the council staff have reached out to the municipality in which that redevelopment project is occurring to ask the municipality for their comments and concerns, likewise to the public, right? And so when we looked at this, we did recognize, as you're saying, the inherently beneficial reuse of this particular property, and yes, indeed, the term redevelopment of it. But in terms of the conditions, we wanted to make sure that we had looked at it holistically and comprehensively, as we've done with every redevelopment project. And so our conditions relate to those. But insofar as the DEP's jurisdiction, we were very careful to make sure that we advise you within your jurisdiction and stay out of the areas that the department...
Exactly, because right. You know, I don't want what happened with something like a tooth-fairy or something like that, where we have good intentions and we go ahead and talk about a lot of issues, and then they say, never mind, we're going to take authority over this. And the DEP can and will do that. So I just want to make sure we're mindful of that. This is a positive issue, and that there are other jurisdictions that we're going to bump into.
Right. In the case that you mentioned, though, I will say in this, it is your authority to designate your redevelopment area. Without that authority, without that designation, the department cannot move forward with a Highlands Preservation Area approval. So this is not something where someone, the authority here is yours.
Okay. Want to make sure we're clear on that. As far as the buffers go, I mean, buffers don't work well with solar installation because, you know, when you have shade, you don't collect a lot of sun. So we have to be very careful when we talk about, or maybe be more creative with the buffers. And I think mentioning berms is an important thing. There's other ways to buffer an area other than just plant a bunch of trees.
Well,
that's not always the answer.
And we did advise you that we couldn't plant trees, and we couldn't recommend planting of trees because of penetrating the landfill. But what we did is, and that's one of the reasons why we felt a site visit was very necessary here, was to see it ourselves, to see what the impact would be. And in terms of the berm and the use of earth, we made sure we read the land closure plan to make sure that they could use those kinds of approaches. So we stayed within, again, the land closure plan and to make sure that we stay consistent.
Construction will begin until the DEP finishes their work on the site. Because has it been approved for, in other words, has DEP finished its work on this site? In other words, have they approved this site for this development?
They have approved, they can't approve the site for development until we take our action. They have approved the land closure plan.
That's what I mean.
After this meeting, as you know, all of your actions are subject to the governor's review period. But the DEP's next action after the designation of the redevelopment area is the consideration of the Highlands Preservation Area approval with waiver. Now, that's a permit process, but they can do that in phases. And that's why one of the first conditions we said is we wanted to see a plan for those phases that would show the capping of an area before the solar paneling goes on. We do also, in our consistency determination, refer to the municipal land use law and any jurisdiction that the municipality has in terms of site plan approval.
Mr. Chair, a couple questions too. Related to that closure plan, I do have a copy of what DEP calls its closure and post-closure plan approval, and there are a lot of portions of that that are not completed yet. Is it typical that they, give an approval and then it's with conditions and they have to complete certain portions? I mean, there's some really important pieces here that are not completed, such as exactly what the protocol for the materials is going to be, that they're going to fill in the areas and cap the landfill with. So how does that work? And along the lines of what Carl was just saying, like, when does that happen? Are we going to be sure that's all done and every submittal is
made final before we move ahead, or allow them to move ahead with the solar.
The only way we could do this was our why we had that recommendation for the phasing approach for us to be part of this through the HPAA. Because I understand what you're saying, and I certainly couldn't speak for the department, but only to tell you, Tracy, that what we've done is said that they have to show us the phasing and have to show that the closure plan is in place before any phased in of the panels. Sorry, the closure plan, then the panels. That's on our way, but we have no authority over the closure plan itself, but we do know that it was finalized and signed off on.
Right. I mean, of course, I understand. We don't have, it's not under our jurisdiction, but this is a really important resource area for the Highlands. I mean, it's in the preservation area. It's in the protection zone. It's in the high integrity forest. It's got, you know, a high watershed value. It has a C1 stream right next to it. So, I mean, this is a very sort of special place in the preservation area. So certainly this is a great step forward to take an uncapped, you know, landfill, you know, I think one of the commenters said it's not really a landfill, it's a dump. I mean, I think over the years, looking at those pictures we see, it was not a controlled landfill facility. It was more of a, you know, a traditional area where stuff was dumped. But, you know, looking at that and knowing that it's a challenge to get on top of that, is certainly, it's great that our resources can be used to help this happen. But I'm also concerned to make sure that even though we don't have jurisdiction, that they know that these very special resources are surrounding this. Critical habitat is nearby. All of those things are surrounding this, so what they do there really needs to come to the highest level in terms of, you know, putting it to bed in order for it not to continue to have pollution problems. Now, I see in here they have the groundwater protection monitoring program. Mm-hmm. That's great. Can we suggest something like a stream monitoring program? Because it seems to me like one of the issues here is, you know, what is happening in that C1 stream next to it? Is there monitoring going on there? And is there baseline data? And can we say to them, we think this stream should be, you know, monitored? Because that's an important resource there. What kinds of things like that, like stream monitoring or additional types of management of the areas outside of the brownfields area that we're dealing with, where we're saying we want that to be vegetated, you know, what kind of... How heavy-handed can we get in terms of protecting those resources, even though we don't have jurisdiction?
The difficulty here is that we're responding to an application from the developer of the site. And in terms of, we have no authority and no jurisdiction over any of the closure activities by the department. We do work with them, and we actually, on the day we toured the site, there was a representative from the department there. And we work closely with them, and we will through the Highlands Preservation Area approval. We believe that we've done everything in our power, in our recommendations, to try to protect the resources as best we can. But we don't. I don't believe, unless Thomason, we have any authority to ask the departments to anymore. It is their job and their responsibility, and we would hope that they have done that sufficiently in terms of the closure plan.
Well, one thing that you do step out on here and is put in the plan is this, the idea of vegetating the area. And then there is, you know, the discussion a little later on about, it's in the conditions, but also in the document itself, about, you know, maintaining that in a way that is, you know, putting a conservation easement on in place, maintaining the vegetation. How were we able to step out and do that? Was it really...
And that was very deliberately worked on by the staff, and that's why in the recommendations we actually said it was because of the solar panels, because it was all because the redevelopment activities we were concerned might impair the quality of the stream. We believed you had the jurisdiction then to ask for, so long as again it wasn't inconsistent with the land closure plan, that vegetative buffer. So, but it was, we related it to the development activities.
Okay.
And so there was a limit to what we could do, but we certainly did our best in terms of responding to public comments and responding to our need to protect. But we had to stay very strictly within the limits of our jurisdiction.
So how much teeth does that actually have? I mean, when it said, in one place it said, it's, well, actually in every place it says, to the extent feasible, as a condition of this approval, establishment and maintenance of a vegetative buffer between the stream reach and the project area.
Well, the feasibility comes into, again, if it contradicts in any fashion or form the land closure plan, and DEP explained that to us, then we have to allow that that's an exempt activity. So it, in as much as we can work with the department to see that we can achieve these things, we will. Certain things we certainly can mandate, but again, if closure, even outside of the area, if there are some closure activities, they're exempt. And we have to recognize that.
So is it actually required? Because in it made it sound like it might not happen the way it's written here, but in your summary you said the conservation and the revegetation of the area, the buffered area, is required.
It is required where it can occur and where it is not shown to be inconsistent with the land closure plan. So there are definitive areas where it's absolutely, clearly, we'll be able to do it. There are areas, admittedly, in question where we'll work with the department. And if they show us that we're doing something that's inconsistent with their closure plan, we have to allow for that. But it is a requirement.
Okay. And just one other question, Mr. Chairman, about the stream relocation. You see on the aerials, well, not that one, but it's the streams that go through the center. Is that the stream that's what's going to be relocated?
This stream down here is being relocated. And so they're working on this, so there'll be some clearing in this area. And I believe it, I can't put the engineering term for what they'll be doing there, but they basically tunnel it, I believe, in certain areas, so along there. And then the riprap is a requirement, and our engineer, Jim, looked at that. Chris Ross leads the project work, and she asked Jim to look at it, and definitively he said that the riprap was necessary. And so then we put in the vegetative buffer where we could, and then in terms of the visual, we were able to put in as well.
Okay, so our staff did have the ability to have some input into that stream relocation?
No, not into the relocation. What they did is they looked at the land closure plan. They looked at the, when Chris saw the riprap, she went to our engineer to verify with him that that was a necessary, from an engineering perspective, was necessary, could it be done any other way, and our engineer agreed that that was necessary. See if Chris is here.
In order to protect.
Hi, Chris. Chris Ross is in the room. She led the project.
Okay.
So, yes, yeah, so Chris worked on it. That was in over the weekend working on this project, and then but did go to Jim to ask from an engineering perspective.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. I just have a couple of questions. Who actually owns the land?
The developer owns the land. Strategic.
They bought the land. They bought the land from Rodrigo?
Yes.
Oh, sorry?
They own it free. They're land.
Okay. And they're going to be a utility? They're going to be producing electricity for whom?
They'll be selling it into the transmission grid as the best.
So, are they categorized as a utility at that point, legally?
I don't think they probably have anything in that agreement.
Yeah, we don't know.
That would be my guess.
So there have to be some DPU involved in this?
Not to my knowledge today, but I don't know.
Just the PSE and the
utilities? Whoever the utility is, but we don't have the answer to this question.
Okay, I just curious.
Okay,
static.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just think this is a no-brainer. This is when we'd be better off asserting that it is there once it's at property.
We'll hear from the public at this point. Members of the public, Russell.
Good afternoon. I'll turn this around if that's okay. Okay, my name is Russell Stern. I'm the township planner for Ross Street Township. First of all, I just want to thank the Highlands Council for providing the community with the opportunity to provide public input on the redevelopment area designation process. That's not typical to have a state agency welcome this extent of comments and questions, which we provided in a letter dated October 7th of this year. I also want to thank staff for entertaining our comments and questions and answering those comments and questions to the extent that they could, realizing that a lot of the questions and comments were posed really to NJDEP, that they are the authority that needs to answer some of those questions. So I want to thank you for answering them to the extent that you can. I think it's important to note that when you think of this redevelopment site, this landfill, that it's not a typical redevelopment site. You saw the last photograph with a rusted 55-gallon drum of vegetation over it, but it's not your typical site. It's not a redevelopment site that's located in a large industrial developed district with a former vacant industrial structure on it, located in an industrial zone out in the middle of nowhere. This site is ceased operations in the 1970s, 79, and it has over, or had until DEP allowed tree removal, it had over 30 years of vegetative growth on it. So that, you saw the picture of the 55-gallon drum, but driving along the roadways or looking from the residential development to the south or the residential development to the west, there's no indication of a landfill. You really have to go in there and penetrate that site to really see the development. You have, looking at the screen, you have a preserved open space land, which is municipal property. To the west is the Post Peak residential development. To the south is Lookout Mountain. You have Lookout Mountain Road and Vanover Drive, perpendicular to Mountain Road, which adjoins the site. And as you come down out of that development, your view is right to that property. And for the past number of years, the view has been a wooded tract. Mountain Road, the road that accesses this site, is a residential road. There are homes, you can see along Mountain Avenue, and the access to the site is through a narrow roadway, almost country-like in certain aspects of that roadway. So our main concerns really affect the, really are how the site impacts the residents in that area during a limited period, which is that interim period of the start of the landfill closure to the completion of the landfill closure process. The landfill closure plan that's been approved by the state anticipates operations being ceased in October 2015. So that is a considerable long period, especially when it could be extended, where in the cleanup operation there'll be an import of about 1.2 million cubic yards of recycled materials. There's a whole host of materials that can be taken into the site. So we are, of course, concerned about the truck traffic that goes in there. If you work out some calculations, you'll find out that in total trips into that site and out of that site, it will amount to about 150,000 trips, total trips. So whatever the state could do, whether it be the Highlands Council or NJDEP, we're looking for any manner in which some of those impacts to the residents could be mitigated. We also, as a priority concern, are looking at the impact of Mountain Avenue and the roadways leading from 206 or 46, or yeah, 46 into the site, with 150,000 truck trips as well as trips by other vehicles conducting the work on that site. As they're moving the fill material around, there will be substantial impacts to those roadways. DEP was not able to address how they will manage the repair of that or how they'll manage to take care of the long-term maintenance of that, but we are concerned that those expenses will be falling on the backs of the taxpayers of Roxbury Township. So whatever assistance either Highlands or NJDEP or other state agency could assist us and would be greatly appreciated. There was discussion about the buffers. As I mentioned before, at Lookout Mountain, the development to the south, the two roads, there's a decline exiting that development, and you'll look right over Mountain Road and right into the site. And one of the ways in which capping will be acceptable to NJDEP is through the use of recycled concrete. Or through the use of soil. So we have particular concern about the impacts to the view sheds because 50 acres of the site are being disturbed and capped in a recycled substance. That will have potential impacts upon the people in that area and the residents of Lookout Mountain and those traveling along Mountain Road. So the buffers are particularly important to us. and I'm glad it's addressed as a condition in the staff recommendations. It mentions a minimum of 75 feet as a minimum buffer standard, either through berming or landscaping. We appreciate that. However, once we finally get some details on where the panels are going in detail format, there may be a situation where greater buffers will be required, and I hope that will be considered, buffering in terms of the soil mounding and buffering in terms of landscaping. So I hope that factor is taken into consideration. Those are the priority concerns, the truck traffic and the impacts to the residents, the damage to the roadways, and the buffering are priority issues as it pertains to the site. We do have a number of other comments and questions. They've been contained in my October 7th report. We hope that DEP will be able to readdress some of those issues. Pursuant to the municipal land use law, the township will retain its right to oversee the solar site plan process, and that has been referenced in the October 12th letter from Anthony Bucco, who is the township's municipal attorney. And so we'll be looking at this as the details come in. We'll be looking at the solar development project. Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I have to say from my experience, working with the Highlands Council has been pretty good in this aspect. Thank you.
Any other members from Rockferry Township want to speak on this issue? The governing body members first, please. Richard, Kathy was there? No? Okay. Yes, sir.
My name is Robert Deutsch. I am one of those property owners whose property abuts the landfill. I'm right about in the middle, lower middle of the screen. You're very close. Go over one. Yeah, there it is. Yes. And I purchased the property about 7-8 months ago as my residence. I was told by the previous owners of the of this issue with the remediation and the construction of the solar panel field. It was a great concern. It almost caused me to change my decision to purchase the property. I went ahead and purchased the property with the hope that those powers that be would come to their senses about the wisdom of building what will amount to a big blight in the area. The Fenimore landfill is in a bowl. It is at the bottom of, as Mr. Stern mentioned, a mountain on the south side, Lookout Mountain, and it rises on the west side as well. There is no berm or landscaping plan that could possibly cover and obscure the blight of seeing an array of solar panels from our homes that I can foresee physically and logistically possible to be built. As far as a buffer zone, plants are deciduous mostly in nature, and come about this time of the year, if there is even such a thing as a possible buffer, the deciduous nature, the dropping of leaves and the bare branches will uncover any blight that exists, any construction, any such alterations to what is really now quite a pristine looking site. Now, I know people can object to those words, but as Mr. Stern said, the site has overgrown for 30 years, or at least until the chainsaws came this summer to level the areas that are being remediated. I see no problem with remediation. I think it's a noble and wonderful idea. But why a solar panel array? Is this what you call a better use of the property? Is this what you would call beautification of what is now a very pristine natural area? Is the relocation of a brook, a rippling stream,
with rocks and rushing water. Is this the proper way to take care of the moving of a stream? The reasons for which I know not why they have to be moved in the first place. But I know from living in Texas for many years, where the bayou system there that is used for drainage was cemented in and altered in its location and direction, created such horrible blights. Not only that, the natural absorptive quality of the water, the watershed area with natural rocks, stream, vegetation, and that sort of thing, and the mere use of the way the stream runs, causes the water to be absorbed and held back. But once it's cemented in or relocated, you have then a bottleneck effect, and whenever there's a rain, there's a very, very distinct possibility of flooding. And Houston has a horrible problem with that because it relocated natural streams, the natural bayous. Now, the last thing I would like to ask is, what's the whole point of this? What does the township of Roxbury gain from this? Are our electric bills going to go down? Is solar power the way in which electricity can be generated in a cost-effective way? No. Solar power is the most, at least efficient way of generating electricity. I have an expert commentary on this matter of solar power as compared to other forms of generating power, oil, gas, nuclear, and another plant very similar to the one that's being proposed for this area in California, it's called Solar 2, had the exact same claim to produce peak power of 10 megawatts of electricity. They are using 130 acres. I don't see how 10 megawatts can be claimed in a space of 50 acres of production, for one thing. In actual fact, this Solar 2 project, which had claimed to produce 10 megawatts, ended up producing only 1.6 megawatts of power, or 16% of its claim. And this is in California, where the sun shines. Another project in my home state of Florida, the DeSoto project, claimed 25 million peak production. But after it was built, it could only manufacture 4.7 megawatts per hour on average, 19% of what was claimed. What are the economics of this? Who is benefiting from this? Are our electric rates going to go down? Who's going to clean up this project? Solar cells have a maximum life of about 20 years. Who's going to be responsible for remediating the remediation or the construction of this whole project? Has anybody ever thought about this stuff? It's a blight. I don't understand how this can be considered a no-brainer. For me, it's a no-brainer in the opposite direction. I'm very, very concerned, and I think you, who are the custodians and monitors of the way in which land is being used in this state, ought to be very concerned about what's going on here. What are the economics? What are the aesthetics? I hope you are not a rubber stamp council. I hope you'll think about these questions very seriously. And I hope that your decision will be based on what is really in the best interests of the landowners and the city of the township of Roxbury and the state of New Jersey. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Deutsch. Your comments have been noted and are part of the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm the Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions, and I fully recognize that I'm largely in the wrong room today. I should be at the DEP talking to them about the administrative consent order that they have issued.
I still like it. I think that.
The point I want to make today is that you're tangling with a very big bear here. I first saw this site in 1979. At that time, the so-called leachate pond at the sort of eastern end of the site was equipped with a diesel pump that pumped the leachate back on top of the landfill, allowing it to percolate down through it again. To give you some idea of what might be encountered in a site like this by way of contaminant, we could use the example of Combville South in Washington and Chester Townships. At Washington and Chester Townships, Combville had operated pretty much through the same time period, a little earlier, by late 1940s. DEP had never issued a citation. DEP had never required monitoring wells. The only violation ever issued was for blowing litter on the site. When we privately tested surface water, shallow groundwater, and deep groundwater, we found 26 organic chemicals, 8 heavy metals, and radioactivity. These sites can contain anything. And the development of the solar field being assumed on top of a successful cleanup is, how would I put this, a stretch. What we're seeing here in the administrative consent order is a 48-month cleanup program. And if you believe that that job can be done in 48 months, I have some swampland to sell you. 48-month cleanup program during which 1,200,000 cubic yards of material will be brought to this site to cover, in quotation marks, this landfill. Those materials can be dredge spoil that I don't know the source of. Those materials can be crushed concrete, crushed brick, chipped tires. That's an interesting one. The residue from water treatment plants can be used to cover a toxic or polluted site with the material that we want to take out of our drinking water. So what you're doing here by creating the ultimate carrot at the end of the rainbow for this applicant by designating this as a redevelopment area is enhancing the viability of this process, in which we are bringing over a million cubic yards of fill into the preservation area in the protection zone. And I would call your attention to some things on that photograph up there. You see the development immediately to the west of the site. That development was not there in 1979. That's a relatively new development. But one of the things you might want to look at on your Highlands mapping is where the wellhead protection area is for the well that serves that development. And you'll find that it comes into the western end of this landfill. And I don't want to call it a landfill because the thing is a dump. It has no bottom, there's no liner, there's nothing down there but the natural groundwater. And the surface water flows directly into public land, into recreation areas owned by the Township of Roxbury. I would also support Mr. Stern's comments with regard to the road. That's a road that probably is not going to look the same after the number of truck movements necessary to do this job. I would ask this council to withhold this particular designation until such time as proper cleanup has been demonstrated by objective information, by water testing, by air quality monitoring, and by the grow-in of a stable surface. Thank you.
I think you were right in your first comment, Dave. You have to go to the DEP. This is beyond our ken and our jurisdiction. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. I'm Bill Kibler. I'm the Director of Policy and Science with the Raritan Headwaters Association.
as of October 1st. For those who don't know, the South Branch Watershed Association and the Upper Raritan Watershed Association merged October 1st. So we are now a single watershed, 470 square miles, which includes a portion of Roxbury, including the Fenimore Dome. The former Fenimore Sanitary Landfill. It's not an engineered landfill, it's certainly not sanitary, and it is still a dump. So it's not really former. Until it's properly closed, this is still a dump. I'd like to start by saying our organization likes the concept of giving us a redevelopment area designation. I think the use of this for solar power generation is an interesting thought. My concern is not the redevelopment designation, but the timing of the redevelopment designation. And Mr. Chairman, I recognize I'll have to take the bus with Dave down to DEP on certain of these issues, but there are some of these issues that I believe are within your power. And the first one is when and how the redevelopment designation is given. If you look through the closure plan administrative consent order, you'll notice that DEP issued a notice of deficiency with the plan application because there were a number of items in the applicant's plan that were not complete. That includes the closure plan application was incomplete. The landfill closure plan, which is pretty fundamental to closing the dump, is incomplete. The protocol for accepting the materials that are going to be used to close the facility are incomplete. And this is the one that really raised a red flag with me, and anyone that's familiar with landfill closures, I think this will raise a red flag for you. Also, their financial assurance plan is incomplete. So I'm not knocking the concept of a redevelopment, redesignation for this site. I think it's a good idea. I think it's an excellent opportunity for the council and the staff to have the opportunity to protect, restore, and enhance this parcel, as well as water quality on this site, if it's done right. But this didn't become a landfill overnight. And I'm a little concerned the DEP is rushing to judgment to get this site on a redevelopment fast track. So my ask of the council today, the major ask would be that you reconsider the timing of this of the redesignation for the site until such time as the applicant basically gets their act together and has all the materials that DEP has required them to have, so that you can be confident that the site will be properly closed and that they have the financial wherewithal to complete the plan. There are a couple other minor issues that I did also want to mention. Landscapers are big fans of berms. That's a fascination I don't necessarily share. Berms can create some real issues with how stormwater moves on a site. So I'm sure the staff has considered this, but I did want to mention it on the record and ask that the staff ensure that the berms are incorporated in the stormwater management plan and that's thought of. The only other thing really is a message for the town of Roxbury. Raritan Headwaters Association has had a bulger stream monitoring program since 1974, and we'd be happy to work with the municipality if they want our assistance in monitoring the streams coming off the site in the future. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is William Primus, and I am a resident of Vegwood. As the hawk flies, I'm about 400 yards from the site. And in that area, we have a couple of concerns. One, I think the council addressed, and that was the odor that may exude from disturbance of that landfill. And second would be what barriers you have for our children. You know, there's curiosity whenever something takes place. Kids are curious and want to know what's going on. And there are an awful lot of children in our area that might be curious enough to go down to that area when they are redoing the area. And so we have that concern. The second, third concern, Mr. Chairman, is something that Mr. Deutsch had mentioned that had crossed our minds in our area. That is, if this project is to fail after X number of years, what happens to that site, and who will be responsible for maintaining that site? Something that kind of concerns us. If it runs its course and it's there, whose responsibility would it be? Would it be our responsibility as the Township of Roxbury? Would it be the DEP, or whose would it be, and who would be responsible for maintenance? And the fourth concern is Mountain Road, which is not all that good at this point. Very narrow, barely enough for two cars to pass each other. I'm sure that's not a concern of this council. However, it's probably a concern of my mayor and the chairman of this committee, this council, that needs to be looked at. And finally, if this is going to happen, I've not seen in any documentation who's responsible for the monitoring of the site. I read where the DEP would come in probably twice a year to monitor. But I'm not sure who else is going to do that over a period of time while this is being developed. And that's something of a concern to ours also, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Erica Van Alken for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. The Coalition supports redevelopment and solar initiatives in the Highlands, but only if those initiatives are fully supported by the RMP. It is our concern that the goal of redeveloping the Fenimore landfill site as a solar field will eclipse the important and crucial remediation of a hazardous landfill. We recognize that there is little chance the landfill will be remediated without the eventual promise of a redevelopment area designation from the Highlands Council. Because such an action is probably necessary for financial support, and without the expected revenue from the solar arrays, funding for the remediation is not likely. However, we think the cart is being put before the horse. The council needs to know that this difficult site has been fully remediated before the redevelopment area is approved. Thank you.
See no one else, and I will come back to the council here. Yes, I would. By all means.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. NJCF, I think we also feel that the council should postpone any decision on this site at this time. There are too many unknowns about what actually will happen on the site, and most of what we have heard from the town planner is, frankly, fairly awful. I think in terms of this being in the preservation area and in the protection zone, the cure, quote, for this dump may be much worse than the disease. And I think there needs to be, and again, this is a DEP thing, but there really need to be the kind of groundwater monitoring and so forth to find out if this project is actually causing the kind of harm at this time that the devastation of trying to remediate it would cause. I mean, I fully sympathize with the planner's concerns about the neighboring residents. It could be that this site would be better just left alone and just let it regrow and let it be open space. There are definitely dollar signs hanging in the air here with the big solar array supposedly at the end. I don't think that this council needs to facilitate the economic aims of the landowner. So please do not take action on this site or if they decide that it still needs to be remediated, regardless of what their outcome might be, you know, we could consider it at a future time for redevelopment, but please do not do it now. It would be, frankly, I think the remediation would be an obscene blight on the highlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Uma. Did I miss anyone else out there at the moment? I want to come back to the council for more comments and questions.
I'd like to ask a question of the panel again. Actually,
sure. Mr. Stern, would you be interested in coming back and responding to a query from one of the council members?
Oh, sure.
I apologize for doing that to you. I can't really get a gist of what the town's position is on this. I mean, I just was unclear. You pointed out a lot of problems that you could have with this project. I'm a little confused about a couple of things that I have to straighten out. But I mean, what's the town's position on whether or not at some point, whether it's this point or some other point, that it should be redeveloped?
The township has not taken an official position on this.
Okay. Didn't help me at all.
Go to DEP, you'll similar response.
Great. This is kind of the chicken or the egg kind of thing. I mean, our responsibility is whether or not this becomes that kind of a zone, but it's DEP's responsibility that it's done correctly at some point.
It is DEP's responsibility entirely in terms of the land closure. They have signed and agreed on a land closure plan with the developer. The monitoring of that land closure plan as it moves forward is entirely the responsibility of the applicant with the Department of Environmental Protection. It is their job to make sure that this is done properly and appropriately. And we have no jurisdiction in terms of involvement in the cleanup. Know that the cleanup and the capping of this site will render the entire area within the yellow to be capped. Thus, it will have those recycled materials consistent with the closure plan entirely over it. So it will not look like it even does today, which is just sort of a brush undergrowth there. It will look like a capped area. So in terms of the redevelopment, your determination is the placement of the solar panels, the area in which that can occur, and then the conditions that we've imposed to try to address the concerns that we've heard from both the public and the municipality.
All right. Well, if it has to be with a solar developer, let me tell you my concern. A lot of the solar developers, and we're going through this in Passaic County, there are improvement authorities asking us to guarantee bonds for them for a rather large solar project throughout the county. The problem that I have is S-rights. I was a big proponent of this, and I've been doing it with Wayne, somebody in Romano was the mayor at the time. I was trying to help them. They're down to $168 a credit when they're up to $700. A lot of these solar providers are looking, obviously, for the five-year expedited depreciation, and I know that there's some supports that will not be here next year, so I guess that's why this is such an important thing to get done now for them. But if they're relying upon SREX to be part of the fiscal package here, SREX may go down to $50, may go down to zero. I mean, the presentation that we got at the Freeholder Board was from our own people at the Improvement Authority, where right now, there's a glut of SREX credits on the market. There's more SREX credits that are needed by those who would buy it. That, and you know, you're going to add, in my problem, say, guys, we're going to add more credits out there when we already have a glut in the market. I'm concerned. I'm just not sure it's part of our jurisdiction. I mean, if it's saying that the township and everybody wants this as a redevelopment area, I'm all for that. But I'm concerned that if there's some financial package that's going to rely upon these SRECs, that you wind up with a boondoggle at some point that could hurt not only the taxpayers, but the remediation of the site, and that scares me. I mean, I'm being honest, that really scares me that the site wouldn't be done well. And I'm hearing it from, actually, for the first time from a whole bunch of sites here.
There is a representative from the Department of Environmental Protection, Cindy Rondazzo, is in the room, and she did the walk through the site with myself, Tom, and Chris Ross when we went out there, and Cindy has been involved in this project for a long time. So I just want to let you know that she's in the room as well. So it is her, the department that she works for, their responsibility is the cleanup. The disturbance on the site has already occurred because you heard about the clearing. That was done consistent with endangered species folks to make sure that it was done at the appropriate time. But the clearing has already occurred. So this, so the actual closure has, in a sense, begun from that perspective.
Tom, Jim is over here. He obviously wants to speak. He wants to do so, I presume, as mayor, not as the chairman of the council.
Yes, we got a letter from the State Ethics Commission some time ago, actually, noting that since the Highlands Council has members who are in their official capacity, they only can do one of those jobs, but they're allowed to do one of them, not two. So he may speak.
And just for the record, Jim Riley, Mayor of Roxbury Township, I wasn't planning on saying anything. The only reason I came up, I didn't fair, was fair to my planner to sit here and say we didn't take a position while you have a mayor and two council people over there. So I wanted to clarify that. We had hoped to be, we understand that there's concerns here, and I heard this board and members of the public address a lot of those concerns. We had hoped to be more involved in the process with the DEP, and that's why our position, we haven't taken a formal position on anything specifically, because there's been events that have taken place that we haven't been involved with, and all of our concern has always been is to make sure our municipality remains whole, and we're not impacted negatively with our taxpayers. So it's difficult to say we're for this or against that. It's the package, and I think it has to be more inclusive. So I just didn't want to leave Russell.
I appreciate that.
May I, sir? We've already allowed for solar development on pristine farmland in a petition that we heard just a couple months ago. And the only jurisdiction we have in this application is the redevelopment of the grant. We have absolutely no control over the capping. That's a DEP issue. So really the question isn't how it gets to be capped, or should it be capped, or why it should be capped. Really the question is, if and when it's capped properly, will we allow it to be redeveloped with solar? And we've already now endorsed a solar project on perfect farmland. So how do we not endorse a solar project on a capped dump that can't ever be used for anything else?
You're asking me that question?
I'm answering
that. Well, you didn't look at me.
To me, I don't see how we can't endorse this or approve it, because I think it's in keeping with the master plan. We endorse alternative energy. We allow for the redevelopment. We don't have any jurisdiction over the capping, so if they do everything else up to that point, then we should be able to approve the redevelopment. And that's the question before us today, so I'll vote yes to support it.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A couple of things. I asked earlier, Eileen, about would this be totally done? Will the capping be done? Will we be sure that this is closed before the project moves ahead? And you said that's why you had a phasing element. Well, can you explain the phasing element?
The project is to be done in phases. So what we've asked is during the HPA, the Highlands Preservation Area approval process with the DEP, that we fully understand what that phasing process is going to be. But clearly we do know that any phasing will require the capping of that portion to be completed before any solar is allowed on it. But that's, it will occur in phases.
So there's going to be basically like cells or areas that will be capped with solar arrays, and then other areas are still under closure? Materials being brought in and that sort of thing?
Yes. My understanding is it will be 3 to 4 phases of development. And this is because they'll do areas at a time where they cap, put the solar on, and continue their work. But each step of the way, the department has to make sure that they do the closure properly, and they are required under the agreement to do the full closure. And that's why the finances are to be put in place according with to the ACO and the land closure plan, in order to for the department to be secure that this will occur.
Well, my concern, I mean, I'm totally in support of a capped facility. having a solar array on it. And I think, of course, it has to be make sure that we do not injure or in any way degrade of the resources that we're supposed to be protecting under the regional master plan. However, my concern here is that there are many aspects of this that are not settled. And when you do look at this plan that the DEP has approved, you see that there's a lot of question marks about how this closure and the cap itself will impact the environment. And I think that's because of the type of materials that are going to be brought in. It has to do with the impacts of the actual construction itself. And all of those things seem so important. I'm just wondering, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Freeholder, about, you know, maybe there's financial considerations here on the part of the applicant. But what is the rush on the part of the council to move forward at this point in time with this approval? I mean, I think it certainly makes sense in terms of a redevelopment area. But why now? And why does it have to be done before this entire property is put to bed in a way that we know is protective of our resources?
Can I answer that? Because some of these programs run out if they're not on their way by the end of the year. So it makes it less fiscally viable for a solar developer to come in and do anything if he doesn't get a project approved before the end of the year. After what Kurt had said, I don't really have a problem with this. Our jurisdiction is our jurisdiction. The rest of it's DEP. And either we want this as either it falls under that, what has to be a redevelopment area. I mean, if they're going to cap it, it's not our responsibility. It's DEP's responsibility. Kurt, I totally agree with you, so I'm going to vote yes on the project. I think there's two different things here, and we're all interested in making sure this is done correctly. And
right.
I certainly think the town has some real serious issues that have to be addressed, but I don't think by us. I mean,
fiscal considerations are, of course, important for the applicant, but I'm talking about what is the rush in terms of the Highlands redevelopment area. For instance, if we don't get this, what happens? Can they go ahead and do it?
They can't go ahead and do it, and I don't believe then they'd have the... And I'm speaking sort of out of turn here, but I think the finances determine the capping of the site. From our perspective, in terms of timing, our requirement under the Act is for an area designated as a brownfield that you have the opportunity then to designate a redevelopment area on it. The land closure, I mean, in terms of when would you consider it appropriate, because the land closure may take years if you're going to look at monitoring and in terms of the leachate collection, etc., before you are satisfied that it is fully closed, and that is the department's job in staying with the developer for years through this monitoring of this process and the constant maintenance of the land closure plan. The beneficial element to any developer to come in and cap a landfill is the redevelopment opportunity that he gets on the site. So as a staff, our concern was, did we have sufficient information to make a decision under the jurisdiction of the council? We took this extremely seriously, and any information, we actually went back to the applicant for more information. We reached out to the town as well to make sure that we had their full comments. We believe we had everything necessary for you to make your determination, and we believe that you have to rely on the department for the closure plan. And because the staff do not believe we have any jurisdiction in that area. In fact, we know we don't under Section 50.
One other question related to that. Do you know if anyone has applied to the EPA under CERCLA to do a preliminary evaluation of this site?
No, I do not.
I mean, what kind of data is there about how bad the pollution is that exists there that may be exacerbated by disturbance at the site? I do not agree it should be left there. I agree that something needs to be done. But I also know that, you know, once you do the investigation that shows how pervasive the pollution is from the site, then you can make the right kind of judgment in terms of what should be done with the site. And it sounds fine to say cap and put solar arrays. I'm totally in support of that. What I'm concerned about is what is the process that gets us there. And I know we don't have jurisdiction over it, but we are giving our blessing to it by doing the redevelopment area approval, aren't we?
I believe that the land closure plan is done. It's signed and it's agreed to. So I believe that is done. So I, it's complete. It's a complete land closure plan. It's agreed on by all parties and signed and delivered. We're being asked questions about what's in the site and the closure plan that, that we did not look into, because those are another state government's responsibility. And in terms of being, we are very strict as a staff to make sure that no agency tells us to accept something on there, say, if it's our jurisdiction, we look at it. And in terms of, for example, the recommendations today, we didn't speak to another agency and say, are you okay with the recommendations we're making? Because we believe that that is your jurisdiction and we're delivering our recommendation to you. By the same token, we did not question another state agency on what is under their jurisdiction, because we have to trust that they do their job, or somebody else, it's somebody else's responsibility to make sure, but certainly not the Highlands Council staff.
I don't want to cut the discussion too short, but we have spent a lot of time on it, and if there are no more substantive issues come before the council, by the council, I will call the vote. I just want to comment, when courts review what's before them, sometimes the decisions are very narrowly based, and I think that's a similar situation here. We're dealing with a very small window.
Hello.
Thank you, Judge. And so I think it's the designation as a redevelopment area is the issue and the question before us. And on that matter, if there are no other comments from the council, I will call for a vote.
Yes, the only thing you missed was one member of the public who spoke against it, who was an adjacent landowner. Everything else was in the materials you were obtained.
Already obtained it. Yes. One of the things as a mayor and as a free American is that I despise when government agencies overlap each other and usurp each other's powers. You go before a planning board and the zoning officer then gives you stuff that wants you to do stuff that the zoning board did not put in your resolution. I find that a severe abrogation of their powers. And we have here a case where we have a very limited jurisdiction. I think Kurt explained it very, very well. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to vote or not on the decision, but I think that we do have to keep in fact our jurisdictions. We have to keep people's rights in mind, and we have to stay on our side of the line. They have to stay on theirs, and the DEP has to do that closure plan. And who are we to tell them? And the planning board has got to take care of the road issues and the site issues and the security issues and all those other kinds of things that are going to happen relative to the activities on that site.
I might want to wait just a second here. The judge is coming in and he's been on the phone this deliberation and wait for the judge to come in to vote.
We heard you on the phone, Judge, and we heard you hang up just now.
Well, at least I wasn't the last one.
roll call, please. On the
vote. Yes, you are.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
I've been listening to everything over the last hour or so. I have no problems with the redevelopment of the area. I have a lot of questions. The only hammer I've got right now is the hammer of saying no, I won't vote on a redevelopment at this time until the questions are answered, and that's what I'm doing.
Say
yes. Say no.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman.
It's approved. Okay, at this time, I am going to turn the gavel back over to the chairman. I will leave you all to your own devices.
Thank you.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Oh, yeah, please. It is.
No, listen, you're fine. That's fine. Just go.
Also, let's see. I don't want to be in this and you can develop it, right?
Earlier, and this is the town where I live, and I was also on the governing body and mayor, so I've stayed out of this process, and I'm leaving Tom to handle it, so I'm going to leave at this point.
Okay,
thank you.
So we have us before a petition for plan conformance from Lebanon Township, Hunterdon County. Lebanon Township is, for all intents and purposes, completely in the preservation area. There's only 6 acres that are in the planning area that are actually already developed, so it's essentially a preservation area town. It is a large township, and they've done actually an excellent job of preservation. They've preserved almost 5,000 of the 20,000 acres within the township. As you can imagine, it shows here 6 acres in the planning area, 20,000 acres in the preservation area. As you can imagine, it's primarily a protection zone, very limited existing community zone. There's really no infrastructure to speak in the township. It's very limited infrastructure. This is Lebanon Township back in 1930. As you can see, it was a very productive agricultural area, and actually remains that way today. There has been some interesting, you can see from 2007, some regrowth on old agricultural lands. From the statistics, you can also see that there's significant natural lands, significant agricultural lands, and very limited developed plans. And in the interest of time, I'm going to skip the flyover today.
How would you like to be executive director?
So these are the ordinance maps that we've developed for the township, showing, actually you can see first some very large parcels in the town, some subdivisions over the years, very limited existing community zone, as I said before. There's a better picture of it there. Forest resource area, of course, very extensive forest resources within the township. Very extensive streams, they're critical streams for watershed protection. Very critical. very two big ridges in the township, separated by the Musconetcong on one side. Showing here prime groundwater recharge areas, wellhead protection areas. This one is showing infrastructure. As you can see, there really is very, very limited infrastructure. Some small sewage treatment plants that are for particular, well, I think one's for the high school, one's for the Hagedorn facility. Here's preserve lands. Some very extensive preservation they've been doing over the years. There's some real connectivity, some great opportunities for trails that connect those preserved lands. It's a combination of both preserved forested tracts, but also a lot of farmland preservation in the township. And this shows agricultural priority areas. So what we dictated is the priorities for both the SEDC and local farmland preservation. Similarly here for conservation priority for the high quality resource lands. So in terms of plan conformance, they're entirely consistent with the regional master plan from the build out, the fair share plan, their ERI, their element, their ordinance, and their petition. There really are no significant issues in this township. There's no island center. There's no redevelopment areas. Those, of course, redevelopment areas can come over time. But right now, this is pretty much a straightforward petition using all the models that we developed for the township. We did get some public comments during the comment period. Helen Heinrich commented on, and she was very supportive of the agricultural preservation plan that's being imposed and funded. The Highlands Coalition also supported the petition and supported the resource planning dollars that are being allocated for the township. Mr. Shope commented on various aspects of the proposal regarding septic density issues. He had comments regarding agricultural value, the environmental resource inventory, and the Highlands Municipal Build-Out Report. As is our practice, we have a detailed comment response document that we provided on our website that responded to all the comments here. But none of the comments resulted in us having any modifications to the plan that's proposed. We do recommend that this be approved with the conditions normally associated with a town like this, that they adopt their planning area petition ordinance, that the checklist ordinance, that they adopt the element and master plan element and ordinances. They have submitted the fair share plan for certification. There's a water use and conservation management plan, habitat stream, and agricultural plan. And lastly, a green building plan that's proposed as part of the conformance approval. And Mr. Chairman, that's the end of my presentation on Lebanon Township.
Thank you. Can I get a motion on Lebanon Township?
I so move.
Second. And a second. Discussion. Council members? Seeing none, we'll go to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application?
Sure. I'm not on the internet, so I have no idea what your response to my question for. Well, I'd like a copy.
I'll get you a copy.
Okay. I'm against Lebanon Township opting in, even though it's virtually mandatory, because again, a Lebanon Township will be required to have a water management plan, which benefits only, as Eileen Swan used to say, our downstream neighbors. Well, our downstream neighbors don't give a damn about us. They just want cheap, plentiful water, and the fact that we have to pay a price for it up here in terms of land equity is of no concern of theirs. So I'm against opting into this plan, even though it would only affect 6 acres. And one of the questions I asked is lock and block numbers of the six acres that are in the planning area. That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
Bill Kibler, Raritan Headwaters Association.
Sorry, what was the last name?
Kibler, K-I-B-L-E-R. Lebanon Township, or a portion of Lebanon Township, at least, is in our watershed. I happen to live in Califon, so I would be remiss if I didn't come in and say something positive about my neighbors. And I'd also like to point out, since I live in California, I am in fact one of those downstream neighbors. Even though we happen to be a Highlands community, we are downstream of a significant portion of Lebanon Township. The Raritan Edwards Association supports the approval of this application, and we're glad to see another community moving towards planning conformance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard at this time? Ms. Pratt.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I'm also a neighbor living in Tewksbury Township, and we are supporting this application. I'd also note that we supported Lebanon Township's original master plan way before the Highlands Act was passed, which actually resulted in decreasing potential density in the town, and we helped fight off a development on a right at the very top of the Lebanon Mountain, and which is now protected open space while Ms. Swan was mayor. And so I would like to support this plan as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this? Yes, ma'am.
Helen Heinrich for New Jersey Farm Bureau. As you saw in my comments, I think we're making progress on language that alerts towns to having to do some work on supporting the viability of agriculture. It wasn't that way before. And I think having in their top priority list, having to do the egg retention plan is very welcome, and I'm sure we'll all be ready to help them do that. And I just wanted to comment, Mr. Show brought up some questions about septic density standards. New Jersey Farm Bureau is in court with DEP on those standards, raising some of the same questions. And they haven't been answered yet. We understand the questions are before the Science Advisory Committee of the DEP to resolve the situation. And if the standards do change, it may be that these towns that have gone ahead with the 1 to 25 and 1 to 88 acre zoning may have to take another look at their zoning with hopefully more reasonable standards. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public at this time? Seeing none, any further, we'll close the public. Any further comments from council?
I also, as a neighbor, I'll be voting yes to the application. I do share Mr. Shope's concern that broad-based policy in the state has been amiss in dealing with the demand side of the water issue in the Highlands region. And the Highlands Act only deals with the supply issue, and that is a great issue and problem with the state's water policy.
Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Brings us to public comments. At this point in time, we'll open the meeting up to the public. Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Pick on you for you. No, you're first.
First. I feel flattered.
My name's is Hank Klopp. I live in Tewksbury and own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. Last night I was shopping in the A&P in Warren for my daughter, who lives there. A lady wearing a jacket that said New Jersey legislators on it was also checking out. I asked her about her jacket, and she told me she worked for Assemblyman John Bromley. I was wearing a jacket that said my property values have been stolen. That's the one I got on today. And I asked her, she looked at it and she said, I don't understand. So I said, did you ever hear of the Highlands? And she says, no, not really. And she said, no, not very little, I told her. So I told her Bromnick voted for the act and explained my concern. She said she could not believe how unfair the situation is as it stands. I guess I can take that from this, that Bromnick's office is not working too hard to help people to be compensated for the stolen property values. He, like most legislators, are concerned with other matters, like Bromnick's concern with making it illegal to use a cell phone while riding a bike, whatever. The fact that I have not heard from any of you leads me to believe that you have not done anything to help me yet. Are you telling me it has only been 7 years? So I should be patient. Thanks for letting me speak here, guys. I appreciate that. So God bless you all.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Oh, hey, one other thing. On my comments, nothing got in my paper. I'm not on the computer. I'm not nothing, babe. Second, third citizen here. You know what I mean?
You know that's not true. Can you follow up on that, Tom? It's not the second, but comments. Sure. He's saying his comments did not make the website.
Yeah,
the website.
Yeah, they're posted on the website.
I'm not on a website. You know, you got people that don't do these things. All you people may do it. But we don't. So are we second-rate citizens? Shouldn't be. We pay the taxes and everything. And we own the land and the highway. So I think we deserve a little better.
Thank you.
Right, thanks, Dan.
Mr. Schultz?
I've given the... David Schultz. I've given a very quick scan of the Highlands Council responses to my comments, and so I'd like to comment on them. Lebanon Township owned census data says that the average household size is 2.79 people. That's the real data. It's not the DEP's presumption that the average family size is 4. Are we in Alice in Wonderland here, where you ignore real data and support the DEP's contention that there's 4 when the U.S. Census says something different? And this is important because it affects the amount of septic waste that goes into septic systems, and also affects the amount of groundwater that's withdrawn from the aquifer. And the same DEP says that the average person consumes 63 gallons per person per day. When you do your septic calculation, you say 300. This is crazy. You know, there's a saying that everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but nobody's entitled to their own facts. I disagree. You're entitled to your own facts here. You make them up as you go along, and if that's not good enough, you get DEP to help you. That's why we're in this period of total cynicism when it comes to dealing with state government. That's my comment.
Anybody else in the public with the hear?
Yes, sir. Is this general? Yes, general comments. General. Thank you for the minutes. The response from the Highlands. I was able to read it. Ron Pagano in reference to Ringwood. I disagree with some of the comments made by the Highlands when it comes to my planner's report, as well as. I'm not going to get specifics with that since I only have a few minutes here. I just want them to know, the Highlands, to know that the project I have plans, I'm going to go forward with to see if I get it approved, but it's a win-win situation for everybody when I dare somebody to come to me and say, there's something negative about what you're doing here. I've done about 4 or 5 studies on this property with different uses. and it's been going on for about 10 years, been very patient. And even COA's told me I should, not COA, the DCA's told me once you write to the governor's office, you got something good here, which is very rare probably for them to say, but I don't know. There's about 30-40-year-old septic systems in this town that have problems that people drink, about 5+ million people are drinking from these reservoirs that, if you speak to my engineer, he'll kind of give you, point out some facts and tell you to keep it confidential because he doesn't want the politicians to know, probably. It's a very good tax rate of a rate bill, with very minimal services when you have people 55 and older with no children. I met with the seniors in town. I met with the Chamber of Commerce in town. They're all for it, and they all tell me one thing. Good luck, and they give you a funny grin. So those are my comments. I hope the Highlands is able to help me here. And that's it.
Thank you. Anybody, excuse me, anybody else in the public can hear? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. We have no executive session. Can I get a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.